Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, thank you. I did not know I was not. I had my mute on my phone. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I'm sitting there explaining all this stuff, and then thank God for Tanisha. We can't hear you. Thank you, Tanisha. I appreciate that. Okay, so if you want to get into the show tonight, and you need to get your hand up if you want ministry tonight. That's what I was just explaining when nobody was hearing me. So when you call into the show, the number is 319-527-6027, and you, you know, it'll ring, and then go. A lady will come on there, automated voice will say, "Welcome to Blog Talk Radio." Well, then you click one on your phone, and that will get your hand up. If you don't click one on your phone, you just let the process go through, and you get on the show, your hand won't be up. Your hand will be up, and that means that you're just listening, and you really want your privacy, and we let you have that, all right? So you can also, if you don't put your hand up, you also want to listen to the show without calling in. Maybe the phone system doesn't work for you. You can't sit on the line for 3-4 hours, which most people do. You can go another way to listen to the live show. You go to www.blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, and when it comes up, you'll have the live sessions of the live shows. Click on that, and then search for Randy Chandler, or PGN. I think Randy Chandler is what it's best on. Easy to find is Randy Chandler. But so put Randy Chandler in there, and it'll take you to the live show. You can listen to the live show right there if you like. Right? Okay. So you can do that. There's all different kinds of ways of listening. Some of our ways we have done away with because they weren't producing much fruit, so instead of paying for them, we've done away with them. That's one of the ways you can do it. Also, you can go to the video, go to the website, randychannel.com, and listen to the video, watch the video from there. It's also live, although it's about 30 seconds, I think, delay. But there's different ways you can listen. Go to randychannel.com, and you'll see the video. It should be live there. If it's not, let me know. You can be able to listen to the show there or watch it. All right. Okay, there you go. All right, welcome tonight. We're going to take callers. We're going to go from one caller to the next. I'm going to call up the number. My first caller tonight, 469-396. I see you. I'm going to ask for your name and what state you're from. You'll tell me. I'll mute you, prophesy over you, and then go to the next caller. And that's what I do. Go from caller to caller to caller on Wednesday nights. Every Wednesday night, as of quite a while, I think, we've been doing this. And I like it because people who aren't able to get ministered to on any other night, Monday or Tuesday, they can get a word for sure on Wednesday if they can wait, you know, long enough to be on. So find ways to make sure that we can, when we speak your name, if you're off in the other bedroom, try to find a way to fix it to where you can hear us when we're calling the number. And, okay, that's the best way to do it. But if that doesn't work out and we don't hear your voice on there, we'll prophesy over you anyway. Okay, so either way, you're going to get it. But we're here to build up people, prophesy to people, speak the word of the Lord to people. Let me tell you something about the prophetic. People don't understand the prophetic that much. People get words that sometimes it confirms what they already know that God showed them. Sometimes it'll confirm the conversation they had, you know, that day with somebody, maybe on the phone or with their friends or husband or wife or whatever. I mean, you know, we'll talk about that prophetically, and I don't know that, right? So, and other times, you know, it'll be information that you don't have a clue. What does that mean? Well, when prophets prophesy to you, it's a whole different thing. They don't tell you everything you already know. Prophets, real prophets, tell you things that you don't know. The thing is, it will bear witness with you. It may be really big, and you're going like, whoa, that's too much for me. I can't handle that. Well, that's what God does. If he made it easy for you to bring something to pass, then it would all be easy. And that's not the way he does it. He wants you to learn to walk by faith. So what does he do? He gives you messages and words sometimes, not all the time, that are just, you know, you have to reach up higher. Maybe even you can't even reach up that high. So what do you have to do? You have to cry out to God and say, God, you know, if what Randy's saying comes true, you have to do this. You're going to have to do this. Exactly. That's what God wants to do. He's not going to be telling you things always. Sometimes he'll tell you things that you're already doing, right? Speak that to you. Come, oh, yeah, I've been doing that the last 6 months. Nobody knows that, not much, but I'm doing it. Confirming. There's all different kinds of ways that prophetic works. So some people misteach the prophetic realm, saying everything has to be something you already know. Well, that's not biblical at all. It has to bear witness with you, but you don't have to know it, because real prophets get first words. First words are things nobody's heard, or at least not packaged up in that particular package. You know, you may have heard this and that, but when it gets packaged in a package, it gets downloaded to you for the first time. You go, man, I've never heard that, all that before. It's like that. Wow. Exactly. Well, that can't be God, because I don't know that. Well, you think you know everything? You know, you don't know everything. I don't know everything. Right? We don't know everything that God's doing. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of false teaching out there, a lot of teaching misrepresenting the prophetic. You know, and I've done my share of stuff too, so we're not condemning anybody. I'm just saying I've done it. I've learned. But when you're a prophet, you know a little bit more about prophecy and prophets than, you know, a pastor might. So, you know, when this is a pastor teach on prophets, make sure you check in with a prophet to make sure that it's correct, because they make it really sound right, but sometimes it's not. All right, and we're just into being upfront about those kind of things, doctrines and that kind of thing. We're upfront. We don't condemn people. I know some people that preach things that I just despise. I mean, every time I hear it, I go, oh, my God, I can't believe they're preaching it. But you know what? The same people I listen to in other areas, you know, they may have one thing I don't like or two things I don't like, but I still listen to them in other areas, right? That's just the way the body of Christ is. We don't have to have disharmony over somebody teaching something that you just, maybe two things that you really just don't like at all, right? You can listen, you can find things, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. In other words, unity doesn't have to be, we agree, all agree on the same thing. People say, oh, Randy's planting disharmony, you know, because he's saying he doesn't believe in, you know, the pre-trib rapture and merchandising. He's bringing confusion and fear. Well, no, I'm not really. I don't think I am, because when I tell you about people that I don't like what they're teaching, I tell you that I highly respect them and that they have a lot of good teachings, and kind of pinpoint the teachings that they have that are good. So that way we still have unity, but I'm just telling you up front where we stand. You don't have to guess, right? That's just the way we do it. We don't condemn them. I'd have to condemn myself, because I haven't had everything perfect. I've changed the way I believe on things right here while I've been on PGN and have talked about it publicly. So I think that we need to have freedom to be able to say, I don't like the way so-and-so preaches that, but you know what, he's got a lot of other good stuff, or she's got a lot of other good stuff, but I don't like that, you know, and I believe, and we can teach, you know, whatever we want to about it. We have the freedom to do that without saying, unity is, disunity and disharmony is saying, they're of the devil, you can say some of their stuff may be of the devil, but they're not, if you start accusing a brethren of being of the devil, you know, and because they got one or two things you don't like, then you're bringing dissension in the body of Christ. Amen? So I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody that I agree with on much of anything as far as all the way around. Do you? If you call them a devil, if you do, stop it. Stop it. Because when you do that, you create strife, you know. And we need to make sure when we're talking about things to bring the harmony things, and that is, you know, he's a man of God, she's a man of God. I don't agree with those things, but, you know, she's a man of God, she's awesome, you know, they have some great things. listen to the other teachings, but just don't listen to that. And then you can do whatever you want, right? But I have the right to do that. And as long as I'm calling them the devil and they're not born again, they're going to hell, then I'm not bringing strife and contention, right? And so, you know, there you go. I'm just getting that out in the open so people kind of know what's going on. Also, I think that one of the things I want to talk about tonight that's been on my mind, been on my heart, is the book of Acts. We've talked about it a little bit before. Do you really want the book of Acts? Is that really what you want? People say, oh, man, we need the book of Acts and the body of Christ in America and the world. We need the book of Acts, Brother Chandler. Can you? I said, well, yeah. And when they say they want the book of Acts, most of the time what they mean is they want signs, wonders, and miracles, and people getting saved, right? I mean, that's kind of a general thing. That's what I used to say all the time. That was my belief. And then the Lord started saying to me, Randy, are you sure you want the book of Acts? Are you sure that's what you want? And I'm going, well, of course it is, Lord. That's the Bible. Of course I want the book of Acts. That's the New Testament church. That's grace being poured out. That's the new covenant. That's the better covenant Jesus talked about. I mean, yeah, of course. Of course I want that. And he starts bringing me through all these things like, well, you wanted Donald Trump to be president, right? I said, well, of course I did. I voted for him twice. I like the fact that two things I liked about him a lot was that, well, three things. But the main thing was about abortion. He was against abortion, trying to change that. I loved that about him. And the fact that he loved Israel and wanted to help Israel. I love that. So those two things were enough for me without getting all the other things. And so Donald says he can't call into the show. I don't know. Do we have too many callers? I don't think that we... Okay, somebody, is people having trouble getting into the show tonight? Not sure what's up. We have a few callers in. I'll ask if anybody's had a problem getting on. Anybody having trouble getting into the show tonight? Anybody? Donald said he's having trouble. Donald and Tanya said they're having trouble getting in on the show, so I'm asking because of that. I got right in. Tanisha said they got right in. Thank you, Tanisha. Tanisha is a host, so she understands this situation. Thank you, Tanisha and Terrence. Oh, by the way, okay, hang on a second. Let's try to get this fixed, and then we'll move on. Sorry for the interruption. Nobody else had trouble getting in? No. Sharon says, I can't call in either. I tried four times. Yep, Sharon said she. Then how are they hearing it? How are you guys listening? You're listening to on the internet or something? She said, I can't call in either. I tried four times. Okay, so somehow she's hearing, but she's not able to get her phone in there. Okay, and then Nicole says, I got right in when I called tonight. Okay. So I don't know what's going on. Donald, one person said they couldn't get in, Sharon. She tried four times, but nobody else had a problem as far as we know, period. People could be having a problem getting in. We don't know it because they can't communicate with us, period. Okay. Man, that's too bad. I know there's only a few callers. Usually on Friday night we have more callers than that. So I didn't know. Let me see if I can reboot. Hang on a second. Let's just back up here a second. I apologize for the interruption. We want our people, our friends, to be able to get on tonight. Okay. All right. Okay, if you can't get into the show tonight, but you're listening by phone or by you're on the internet, on the internet, on your computer or on your phone at blogtalkradio.com. A lot of people listen by that. So if you're listening by that, just if you could text me and let me know, I'll prophesy to you or minister to you. I have tried to get in for over 25 minutes. Okay. Sharon says she's just being cut off from the web from even trying to listen. Nikki says, I have tried to get in for over 25 minutes. Don't understand what is wrong. A couple of other people are having the same problem. Period. Gary and Mary said they got right in. We only have about 10 callers, 9 or 10 callers in. So there's something going on. Okay, I apologize. I don't know what's going on. Some people are getting in. I don't know. I don't understand it. Gary Mary said they got in. Thank you, Gary Mary, for that. So how are you guys listening? Are you listening by computer or on the web? Anyway. All right. What a night for this to happen. At least, I don't know what else to say here. I'm also trying to listen to you on the app, and it's coming in and out. Okay, hang on a second, y'all. We're going to get this fixed. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com, period, and look for the live shows, and then search Randy Chandler. Yeah, give me a minute here. Okay. A couple of people have said the same thing, maybe 3 or 4. Okay. Sorry about that, y'all. All right. I'm going to take care of that for now, I think. Wow, I don't know what's going on. Okay, so praise God. We're just going to move on here. And so people say they want the book of Acts, and that's what I was saying. And the Lord started making me really clear on what the book of Acts really is. In the book of Acts, there was a lot of persecution. In the book of Acts, there was a government that was not like a Donald Trump government would have been for us. It's more of a Roman government. That's not friendly toward Christian. And also you have, like Paul the Apostle before he became the Apostle, right? He was part of the religious system, the Pharisees, that was persecuting the church and killing people. He killed Stephen, who had him killed. And so, but there were also other Jewish leaders who were saying, I think Gamaliel was saying that, be careful, don't touch these people, because if they're doing God's will, then you're going to be coming against God. And so there were some smart people going on. There were some things. There were some Jewish people that were very smart and understood, in the controversy that, be careful. Don't put your hand on these people because if they're speaking for God, you'll be coming against God. If they're not, then God will take care of it. Not everybody thinks like that. But Paul wasn't thinking about that. He went to killing some Christians. So we're going to have some of that go on in the next 7 or 8, 10 years, as revival, as people are crying out for revival, but they want to be real picky about how they get the revival. We want a Donald Trump government, which I voted for. We don't want a Biden government, that's for sure. We don't want persecution or people being killed. We want to have safety and protection so they can have. Well, friend, I'm telling you, if you want a book of Acts, which I believe is what God's speaking to me, we're going to have. is a true Book of Acts revival and outpouring, then you can't be picky and you can't say, well, I'll take some of this and some of that. Because that's not going to happen. Right now we have a Joseph Biden government going on. Well, they're heading toward the one world government. I mean, they don't even, you know, they're making it plain. That's what they're doing. There's no hiding that. So we have a perfect environment as far as that goes, as far as the government goes. And we're going to have, you know, some spirit-filled people, even some prophets who say they're prophets, and I believe they're prophets. They're not going to believe what we're doing. They're not going to believe what's going on. They want revival, but, you know, they want it with a Donald Trump presidency, and they're not going to get that. And so they're going to fight against it. They're going to say, oh, you know, that's not of God. You know, we prophesied Donald Trump was going to be president, and he wasn't. You know, he stole the election. You know, and so they're going to fight. They're going to get distracted with all that, get distracted with trying to get President Trump in. And they're going to miss the revival, actually, because that's what I think, at least. At least some of them will. Some of them will get it right. But there's a lot of things going on. And when you look at the Book of Acts, you see also there was a throne room that was created. The throne of God, I think, to a certain degree, was brought to the earth on the day of Pentecost. You know, when they all speak in other tongues, and just like Jesus said, 50 days after Passover, Pentecost came, and the Spirit of God was poured out, and Jesus had gone to the Father, and, you know, just the opposite of what the Jewish people believe, most of them, even Peter, rebuked Jesus about that. You can't die. And, well, none of that worked out for them. It all went different. And this is going to happen, too. A lot of things are going to be completely different than people think. So we got to be careful who we listen to. Right? We're going to be careful who we listen to because there's going to be a lot of distractions. Oh, let's get President Trump's coming back in. President Trump's coming. No, he's not. No, and even if he comes in 10 years from now, he's not. What God's doing, he's bringing us into a place to where America has to be weak, friend. We don't have to be necessarily unrighteous and ungodly to the core. But, you know, if you want the Book of Acts, then that's the kind of government that we had was that. And so, so there's so many things I want to talk about this to bring to your attention about the Book of Acts. Most of you know about the Book of Acts. If you've read the Bible much, you know that there were signs, wonders, and miracles. The disciples were, you know, had trouble believing God for casting out devils and healing the sick before that, before the Holy Spirit came. When the Holy Spirit came, they were empowered with God, the Holy Spirit. And then they went forth, and I mean, it was just like Jesus walking through the streets again, except it was more than one Jesus. It was a bunch of them. That were doing what Jesus did. And so it was shocking. It was shocking to the earth. It was shocking to the religious system of that day. It was shocking to the governor. They're going like, man, we got rid of Jesus. Now, you know, Pilate goes like, well, we got rid of him. And now it's like, now we got it twice as bad. What did I do? Yeah, you really messed up, man, in a good way. That's for sure. Because that's what God wanted. And so anyway, but here's some things that you got to think about. I mean, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes and when after Jesus dies on the cross, that's the best. That's the greater covenant, right? That's the more excellent covenant. That's the greater covenant. And so, what under the greater covenant, what happened? Well, one of the things that happened under the new covenant, under a better covenant, was that God set up a throne room through the disciples. He set up a throne in a sense where God was ruling, you know, to a certain degree, more than we'd ever seen before, through the apostles, through Peter, James, and John, and through, you know, the apostles. And so you see it really strong. When people get confused about grace, they don't understand that when Ananias and Sapphira showed up at the throne room where Peter was, representing the throne and the apostles, they were representing a throne of God in the earth. And when you come to the throne room and you tell a lie on purpose, now, if you make a mistake, you misunderstood, you know, God knows all that. He knows if you're deliberately, willfully planning to lie. Well, guess what happened? I mean, Ananias comes in at a throne room. They're stepping into the throne room. They didn't know what they were stepping into. And he'd already planned a lie. He planned it. It was willful, deliberate. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't, oh, my gosh, somebody told me the wrong thing. Am I going to die for that? No, you're not. You're going to die for deliberately, willfully lying. That's what happened to Ananias. He steps into the throne room. And see, this is what I think God's about to do, is establish a throne room in the earth. I believe this. This is what I'm preaching tonight. The throne room. God's setting up a throne room. what is that going to look like? What's that going to mean? Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about it tonight and prophesy this to you. We're going to have a throne room set in the United States, in the world, and eventually it'll be in Jerusalem where Jesus will rule, and that'll be the perfect one. But now we have what we call the Book of Acts throne room, where the Spirit of God is poured out on common people like you and me, God raising us up and making us preachers and ministers, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, and people that are really turned on to Jesus, 120 of them, and then a bunch more. So we have this thing going on. So what's God doing? He is wanting to establish a throne room in the earth to where when somebody comes in and they're trying to deceive the church or lie about somebody, saying, oh, we caught Peter committing adultery, and they'd be lying like a dog, which he didn't do that, right? And that, you know, if they came in and they did that deliberately and willfully, well, guess what? It wasn't going to be good for those people. That's the kind of atmosphere that was going on when the greater grace was working. Greater grace isn't what we think it is, friend. It's awesome. It's amazing, but it's not exactly how we want to put it in our little pipe and smoke it. I don't smoke, and I don't have pipes. Let's make sure you understand that. But you know what I'm saying. So that's kind of what's going on, and we're going to see a throne room. We're going to see the old Brother Chandler. You can't talk about that. I literally had somebody who was a Blog Talk friend years ago when I talked about a little bit of this a long time ago. They texted me right away and said, "Well, we have a better covenant." And I said, "We have a better covenant? What do you mean?" Yeah, that Ananias and Sapphira, we had a better covenant now. That ain't going to happen anymore. I'm going, well, that was the new covenant. That was the better covenant. This is a person who'd been in the gospel a long time. I'm going to mention any names, but I told you who it was. But, yeah, you know, they just were shocked. I mean, I was shocked when I said it, and they were shocked too, and that's how they responded. Like, oh, my God, that can't happen. Well, I understood that, you know, they just kind of had a little brainwave mess up there, and it was okay, But people don't understand what grace is, friend. That was grace that had just been poured out. We had a new covenant. We had the greater covenant. We had the best covenant. We had the covenant Jesus said that's going to be the greatest covenant. And here, Ananias comes in and says, yeah, I sold some property today. And they said, well, how much did you sell it for? He said, well, for this month. He said, you sold it for that much? And that's the truth. And he goes, yeah. And Peter says, well, listen to this. He says, you didn't just lie to me. You just lied into the throne room of God on purpose and delivered willfully. You could have just brought in half that money and said, I'm bringing half the money. We didn't care. We didn't ask you to do that. Peter says, because you have deliberately and willfully lied, you have not lied to men, the book of Acts chapter 5, but you have lied to God. And boom, he hit the ground to promote fear by doing that. You know what kind of fear was promoted when that happened? Well, they made real sure, they made it really plain and let people understand that this man came in and had planned on lying, deceitfully he did something deceitfully on purpose. It wasn't just like a mistake or like, you know, he had some sin in his life and it's like if he had sin in his life, God struck him dead. It has nothing to do with that. He planned, deliberately and willfully lied about money. If he'd have lied about anything, and Peter would have asked him, you know, and he said, well, you have a chance to get this right. And the guy says, it was too late. Peter says, you're out of here. He fell on the ground. They carried him out. And about 3 hours later, man, it's not really funny, but this is amazing to me because a throne room had been created in the earth. So people weren't talking when they came in into the throne room area where Peter was. Peter was the in-between guy. He said, you're not lying to me, man. You know, I mean, you can lie to me. You know, you may get by with it, but you're lying to God. And Peter wasn't saying he was God. He was saying there's a throne room set here. Could you imagine the lawyer fees that we would get free of? Could you imagine the court systems being shut down over a throne room in the United States of America? And having them maybe all over the place, where somebody comes in and they say, did you kill that person? You go, absolutely not. I did not kill that person. And they say, well, you sure? No, you're not lying. You're protecting yourself. You didn't kill them at all. Oh, no, I didn't kill them at all. And they're lying? and deliberately, willfully, and were, you know, boom, they're going to hit the ground. It's going to be over for them. Now, they may, if they were Christian, they may go to heaven, but God's not going to be happy with them. But, you know, it's not good, man. When you got a throne room going on, wouldn't it be amazing all the money we could save, all the trouble we could save in courtrooms and court battles and people lying and say, lying about somebody and destroying their character, destroying who they are as a person because they outright lied about them, but we didn't have any way to prove it, so the rumor gets out and the news gets out and CNN and Fox News and whoever else puts it out there, yeah, today so-and-so went to court today and so-and-so was a liar. And you know what? Because and nobody knew that the person was lying about them and destroyed their character and basically killed them. That's what you do when you destroy somebody's character. That's why you better make sure when you're doing something, you better make sure you've heard it. You know the truth. It's not something somebody told you that somebody did. Because when you stand before God in the throne room of God and you're sitting there saying something, let me tell you something, friend, it ain't going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for you. And you would think that after Ananias falls on the floor dead and everybody knew what went on because they came in and they carried him out and buried him. Then his wife comes in about 3 hours later, according to Scripture, look at Acts chapter 5. About 3 hours later comes in. You'd think that Peter would have said, now, you know, Sapphira, your husband just, you know, God, we're in the throne room now. You got to be careful what you say. Don't be lying to the Holy Ghost because you think he would have warned, you think grace would have had him warn her that her mate just got taken out because he lied to the Holy Ghost. You think that they would, you know, warn her about it. But something was going on, friends. Something was happening. What was God doing in allowing that to happen? When grace had just been poured out, the new covenant was kicked in. Like the person who told me, said, but Randy, the new covenant, you know, we have a better covenant now. I go, that was the better covenant. They go, what? Oh, yeah, but, what? Yeah, that was another, the new covenant, the better covenant. Oh, my gosh. Oh, they just didn't, you know, it just shocked them when I said it. They were responding, trying to protect, you know, the gospel, you know. And it was sweet, but it was just wrong. So what happened? They asked Sapphira, his wife, the same question. You think God's just tough on men? Now he's tough on women, too. You know? He said, Sapphira, Peter says, Sapphira. Now, you say you sold it for this amount, and this is how much you sold it for, huh? They say $50,000. Oh, $50,000, that's good. That's what it is. And they really sold it for $70,000. And he says, well, you know, you could have, you know, just said $50,000. You could have said anything you wanted to. We didn't ask you to do this. Why are you lying to the Holy Ghost? You're not lying to men. You're lying to God. He said, it's over for you. She was gone. Then they came in and took her out and buried her. And guess what? It went all over town, all over the body of Christ, all over the body of Christ. Oh, my God. What was that going to do? Put fear on people? Well, yeah, yes, it was going to put fear on people. For all you fear people that don't like fear at all, the reverence and fear of all God works really well. Works really well. Because what happens is, when that got spread around, that people were real careful that they joined the church, quote, unquote. You know why? Because they go, oh, my God, what's going on here? You mean somebody died for telling a lie? Yeah, they told a deliberate lie. All right. And they're gone. And that spread out all over the place. Let's go here and read this. Let me just read the scripture to you so you can get it exactly. Acts 5, chapter 5, verse 1. But a man named Ananias and his wife, Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the Lord? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, Was it not at your disposal to do whatever you want? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. Why is he saying it? Because he understood that there was a throne room. This wasn't just about Peter and them being perfect and all that. God had established a throne room where you didn't just say and do whatever you wanted, anytime you wanted it, and deliberately and willfully do it, that is. And make mistakes and, you know, spread a rumor. Then you find out you spread a rumor. You know, it's like, I mean, there's all kinds of things. But we're talking about deliberately and willfully lying. So when that all got spread around, friend, great fear. It says, when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men rose up and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now, friend, I mean, that's what happened. And then his wife came in, and they didn't say, warn her or anything. So what was going on? God was letting the world know, letting the church know, that, hey, yeah, grace is poured out, but you can't come in and deliberately and willfully lie about something. Anything, not just money, anything. To deliberately and willfully lie. Because when you come into the presence of God and do that, you're not, like I said right here, why? Because a throne room had been set in the earth through what God did at Pentecost, not just to the apostles, but to the 120. There was a throne room that had been established. And friend, when there's a throne room established, the fear and reverential awe of God is going to be there. And this is not what a lot of people think they want when they talk about Pentecost and the book of Acts. Well, let's leave out that part, like that one lady, bless her heart. I mean, she made a mistake. I think she corrected it, but, you know, it just so shocked her when I said it. Like, what? I mean, we have a better covenant now than that. I mean, have you read the Bible, lady, in the book of Acts? You know, and she hadn't, and so it was really good. But, you know, I mean, it's amazing, friend, what grace really is, what grace really does. What is grace really? Are we misrepresenting grace? I think we might be. I don't know all the details, but I know here we see what God did. It was absolutely amazing. Right? His wife comes in, and same thing. In verse 7, it's about the space of about 3 hours after his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of God? Behold, the feet of them which buried your husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, her spirit. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband, and great fear came upon all the church, as many as had heard these things. And then the next verse talks about how the apostles will start healing, you know, and Solomon's porch, where people started being healed, and miracles started happening. Friend, what was that? What does the throne room mean for the earth? Are you sure you want it? I think we do, but I'm not sure some of these people who think that they can just say and do anything they want when there's a true throne room, you know, of God established by the Holy Spirit among the leadership of God. I don't think that's really what some of those people really want, because some people will lie like a dog about all kinds of things. I mean, I've done this. The reason I'm kind of big on this, I did this. I've done this to a couple of people. Over the years, many years ago, some guy did something, and he came to my door and wanted me to pay him for something that he actually stole it. And so I knew he stole it, but he came and he said, you owe me money for this. I'm going to like, well, can I? He was a Christian. And, you know, a pretty good Christian, from what I understand. I knew him pretty well. I knew his family. And he stands there at my door, and door and said, "Hey, what's going on?" And he said, I said, "Okay, I'll pay you if you'll do one thing with me." He said, "Okay, I'll do anything, man." He was, you know. I said, "Well, say with me, in Christ's name, I lie not. I did not steal that thing. In Jesus' name, I lie not. I stand before God and I lie not." Well, he said it, man. I couldn't believe it because I knew he stole it. He said that, and in Christ, I lie not to you. I'm telling you the truth. That's exactly what happened many years ago. And so I paid him, you know, I paid him. Because I told him I would. And I did. It was several hundred dollars. And paid him, took care of it. And I saw him about 5 or 6, I don't know the exact years that it was, 5 or 6 years later. I was at Home Depot. I saw him. There he was. He came up to me. He said, "Hey, Randy." I said, "Hey, Gary, good to see you." And I said, "What's going on?" He looked horrible. I mean, he looked horrible. He says, I mean, before he could even say anything, hardly greet me, he said, "You know, remember that thing you did with me about lying to the Holy Ghost?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I haven't slept hardly any since then." And that had been years ago. And I went, "Oh, my, you're kidding me." He never even confessed that he stole. He didn't repent of anything, which shows you where his heart was. He didn't repent of anything. He didn't say, I'm sorry, I did that." He didn't apologize. He said, why would he lose his sleep unless he was lying? Which he was. I knew he was. I knew he was lying when he said it. I didn't think he would do it. Because we got to find some way. We need to throw room in the earth, friend, where we can get people to tell the truth when they're trying to shame other people, trying to drag them down, when they're lying about, so-and-so said this about me. And let me tell you something, friend. God is getting ready to pour his grace out. But when we talk about grace, it doesn't mean that the church is going to be able to do and say whatever they want to say. Prophets are going to be held accountable for what they say. Teachers are going to be held accountable for what they teach. I'm not saying that God's going to strike them dead or anything. I'm just saying there's going to be an accountability thing that God's going to do it. Why? Because there's going to be a throne established in the earth. And people are going to be careful when they say, "Now let's join that ministry." Because when you lie deliberately, you might die. I don't want that because I lied some. And I might forget. And, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, are you sure you want the book of Acts? That's what God asked me. "Are you sure you want that, Randy?" I'm going, "Yeah, well, you know, what do you mean?" You know, and so it was a revelation to me, man. It was a revelation to me. And I also had another person in a meeting just to give a testimony. And I knew he had a real problem with exaggerating big time. And he said, "I got a testimony, you know, to give." This is done in, I was in Florida once and had a meeting up there, and the people there would tell you I did this because I believe in this. I believe in this. You tell the truth in the presence of God or else, you know. And don't deliberately and willfully lie. You may make a mistake. That's okay. God knows that. But he deliberately and willfully lied. So I asked this brother, before he gets his testimony, I made him say it in front of everybody on the microphone for the whole meeting. I said, you know, and then I made him swear. You tell him the whole truth and that's the truth. And if you lie before God, you know, it's going to be good for you, right? And he said this. Everybody's like looking around like, "What's he doing this for?" Because I knew the guy. I knew his spirit. And I knew he exaggerated a whole lot to try to get attention to himself. And I said, "Just please tell the truth." I'm not going to say his name, but please tell the truth. All we want is a true testimony. You don't have to exaggerate it, make it big. Just tell it the way it really was. Let's just be honest. And he said, "Okay, I swear in Jesus' name." Well, anyway, it's wild and crazy. And so, you know, but this is grace, man. So wouldn't it be awesome if somebody was lying about you and you say, "Let's go to that grace place over there, that grace church ministry, and let's go in there, Mr. Boss or person you work with at the job, and let's go in there and you're lying about me. I know you're lying about me." And so, "I'm not lying. You know you did that." And they know they didn't. They're lying to each other. There's one big lie, and they're spreading lies at somebody on the about them at the job. And it's getting crazy, and it's destroying their reputation, and they didn't do the thing that they're being accused of. To be able to have a place where you could bring them and say, okay, now, you know, we've had people here who have deliberately and willfully lied, like Peter probably told them, and I'm sure the church back then, the Book of Acts church, probably told them, hey, don't lie deliberately, because if you do, Peter will say, you know, you're out of here if you lie deliberately. Why? Because it was the throne of God. And so you'd be able to take somebody to a place and find out what the real truth is about what's really going on and save lawyer fees, save all years of court, going to court, and having to stand before God Almighty and say the truth or else. And tell you what, what happened in the Book of Acts, what happened was when what started being spread around was spreading around fear, but it was a reverential fear in awe of God, because there's a throne. Now, we can't just lie anytime we want to and say anything we want to do, say anything we want to say. We can't do that anymore because, oh, my God, you know, in this church, we've got to be careful what we do, because if you deliberately lie, you could be smitten one way or the other. You might lose sleep for several years. You might whatever. It's not good. So what we're going to find, people are going to fear God, reverence God, and when they're asked to get something out and tell the truth, that if they deliberately and willfully lie, it's not going to be good for them. So what's it going to cause them to do? Well, you can get them to the side in private and say, come on, you know, we know you're lying, but we're going to put you before God, the throne room, and since you don't want to go there, we know something's wrong, so just get it out in the open. We'll pray forgiveness over you, pray restoration for you if you want to get right with God. You know, and speak mercy over you and grace over you. And that's the way I think it should be. Because when you get them ready, like the next person that they brought before the throne room of God and before Peter, and they were going to deliberately willfully tell a lie, well, they already heard the rumors, and they got the documentation that Ananias and Sapphira buried right there. These two people here lied to God, and they got struck with death. Well, are you going to be doing that when you go to church? Or wherever, wherever God is? No, it's going to cause people, it's going to purify and bring the fire of purification upon the church of Jesus Christ, where people don't lie about their testimonies, they don't lie about what somebody did to them or didn't do to them. And friend, the court systems are probably closed down, which I think, you know, for the most part, that would be good. Lawyers, crooked lawyers especially, will go broke. Thank God for that. And a lot of things are going to change, friend. A lot of things are going to change. God told me. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to establish a throne room. In fact, if you were to come on the show right now and say, I've got something I want to say about, you know, Randy Chandler or somebody, well, is it bad? Oh, it's really bad. Okay, well, that's fine. You can do that. But let's do a little swearing in first. I want you to raise your right hand and swear to God that what you're about to say is the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. And in Jesus' name, I'm telling the truth. And if I lie deliberately and willfully today, God can strike me dead. What do you think they're going to do? Well, if they lie the first time, then we'll have a testimony. We'll bury them out here somewhere. And next time somebody comes and says, well, the last person that lied, they're buried right there like Ananias and Sapphira was buried. Yeah, they're buried right over here. We buried them right in front of the church. So everybody can see for the sign that they're saying, God loves you, but don't deliberately and willfully lie, because it's going to cause you some real problems. What's that going to do? It's going to purify the church. That's going to set up to where people are going to want to come to church to get the truth out about things, to get set free. And if people don't want to go to one throne room and we know they're lying because they don't want to do that, what do? We take them back in the back and get them to open up and be honest and tell the truth and speak forgiveness and love them and get them saved and get them filled with the Holy Ghost. And you see what I'm saying, friend? This is what I see revival is all about, the truth. When you've ever been lied about, deliberately and willfully, like I have been, many times, I want to get some of these people, I'd love to get some of these people on my show, and I will do that. If they're going to defame somebody and speak evil about somebody, I'm going to bring them through that, and you'll all hear it. We'll do it right here, just like I did in that meeting in Florida. Because I knew that guy was going to lie. And I thought that would change his mind. It didn't even change his mind. Messed him up. Didn't change his mind. That's the fear and reverential awe of God, friend. And it's also love, because you know what? Why it's love? Love, because one thing, we can restore them if they decide they don't want to go to the throne room. Right? If somebody else came in and said they found an NS survivor died, and they're going to talk about how much money they're going to give, they're going to go, well, wait a minute. I didn't sell it for $50,000. I sold it for $100,000. Forgive me, you know. Well, what do you want to do? You want to change it to $50,000? Just the truth that you sold it for $100,000. I sold it for $100,000. I want to get $50,000. Well, that's fine. Peter goes, yeah, that would be great. $50,000. We're not telling you what to get. All right. Oh yeah. Well, please forgive me. I was lying. I was going to lie. But when I saw what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, I'm going like, wow, man. You know, I ain't going to lie no more. Yeah. What is that? That's the fear and reverential awe of God, friend. That's beautiful. Now, if you're a liar and you like lying and you deliberately willfully lie about people and you say things and you're a thieving, lying bum, which I don't think any of these people are tonight, huh? Then if you are one of those, you're going to be scared to death of them. Well, we don't want that. We don't want no swearing in on that. We don't want none of that stuff. And that's why in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that's why they do that. The courtrooms today use that same principle, swearing in. But because God's not there much, lawyers can mess things around and get things messed up, and people still lose their reputations because they had money and paid a good lawyer. People get put in jail. Could you imagine how people would get out of jail today if they could run them through that system and have a courtroom of heaven? And they came and said, "Did you do what they said?" No, I didn't. The lawyer lied. They lied to me. And they would be exonerated right then. Boom, 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 boom. There would be a whole ministry just doing that, of setting people free from prison, from the lying lawyers, from the people who have lied and deceived and destroyed people because they had money. You see what I'm saying, friend? That's the love of God. That's true grace. Grace what? Grace in the sense of getting people out of prison. They've been in prison for years, and they were lied about because they didn't have any money to fight for themselves to get them set free and say, yeah, you know, and when they don't die, when they swear to God they're telling the truth, they didn't kill that person. No, I didn't kill him. I promise. The lawyer lied. The people lied. They all lied about me. They lied about me. And then he don't die, then the judge goes, yeah, you're free. Give him some money. Wouldn't that be awesome if that was one of your loved ones we're talking about? Would that be love and mercy? Would that be grace? Would that be unmerited grace? I think so. I think we need to think about what we're talking about. I think God's getting ready to set up a throne room. And we need preachers that are going to be bold enough to have their own courtroom instead of having to go. That's why Paul said, don't take them to the courtrooms that judges up there. That ain't going to work. Bring them before the church. But the problem is that the church is afraid to do what I'm talking about. Have them swear before God they're telling the truth, and God can kill them if they're deliberately and willfully lying about their situation. Oh, I don't think that, oh, that's not like that lady texted me during the show. Well, she's so upset about it. But we're in our new covenant, better covenant. honey, that is the better covenant. That was the new covenant. That was Peter. Jesus had already gone. She went, oh. And I never heard anything much about that after that. But so we don't think about it. I mean, I didn't think about it. God had to wake me up. So I'm not saying being critical toward that person because I would have thought the same thing. I would have probably said the same thing had I heard it. So do we want the throne room of God? Yes, we do. Could you imagine how much true repentance would come when people get ready to put them in before the throne room, and they know they're lying like a dog, and they're trying to see if they, you know, and then they say, oh, I don't want to go in there. I don't want to go in that place. No, please, can you talk to me privately? Can I get to? And they go in there and they get right with God, get saved, get cleansed, washed, tell the truth, all the lying gets exposed, and they get right with Jesus. Oh, man, my God, wouldn't that be amazing? You talk about revival. You talk about outpouring of the Holy Spirit and mercy and grace. Woo! Jesus, that's what I'm longing for, y'all. I mean, I know this may blow your mind tonight. Probably is. We've been at this about 30 minutes because they had trouble getting on at first, but distractions tonight a little bit. But the enemy did not want me to preach this tonight. I guarantee you, he don't want people listening to this tonight. Yeah, the enemy does not want people listening to this message tonight. I guarantee you. But the thing is, it's going to be we have archives more than just the blog talk archive and video archive. We archive it in other ways. So if anybody tries to mess with it, we got it archived in another way. I got the message archived. So if it's not on there for some reason, somebody messes with that, then hey, you know. Anyway, so after some of the things we're talking about, I wouldn't be surprised if people you know, things, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying somebody did anything to tonight's show, but it is unusual that they can't call in. That is very unusual that some people can't call in tonight. So I don't know what it is. I can't say. Unless God shows me. God shows me, I'll tell you. All right. So, hallelujah. So if you can't get in tonight and you're listening by some other means, I just got Blog Talk. You can call us when they dial in. Okay. Hang on just a second. Hang on a second. You'll be right there. Okay, yeah, if you can't get on the show tonight, let me know, then I'll prophesy over you, minister to you tonight, if you'd like. That way you can get on the archive and listen. I apologize. I don't know what's going on with it. We have about 9 or 10 callers in, which isn't near what we usually have on Wednesdays. So I don't know what's going on. But anyway, so it doesn't stop anything. So just some people know how to listen to other ways. So just do that. You can go to my website, randychannel.com, and watch the video. And also you can text me your name and say, I can't get on tonight. Can you please minister to me, and I will do that. Okay, so I hope I didn't blow your hair back too bad tonight. Okay, Nikki says, I am listening to you the way you said to do so I can hear you. Okay. Okay, so people are going to the internet and getting on the internet. Awesome. So, I mean, you can go right to Blog Talk Radio. If you have any trouble with anything else, go right to Blog Talk Radio, www. You can go right to Blog Talk Radio if you want, www.blogtalkradio.com. Look for the live shows, click on live, and search for Randy Chandler, PGN, and you should see it right there. And Nikki just said she did that, and she's listening, so thank you, Nikki, for that. Also, please text me if you can't get in. Please text me, let me know. You know, I love to minister to people. I don't want anybody to miss anything, so thank you for that. And I hope our message tonight didn't blow you away too bad. We're not out to get people killed at all. We're not out to see people be judged, you know, in that kind of way at all, in any kind of way. But you know what? Sometimes God has ways, and it's in the Bible, of how he dealt with things, even in the Old Testament. You know, we've talked about some of that just lately. So our messages are going to get, you know, we're going to go off and on different things, and you never know what you're going to get when you come on. That's what God speaks to me about the throne rooms in America, in the U.S., in the world, where liars and deceivers who are deliberate willful liars and deceivers that try to deceive people lie, they're not going to be able to function very well in the environment that where the throne is. Now, they may do it in their world, at their job or whatever, but when they come to the ministry and they're deliberately and willfully deceiving, lying, cheating, doing things, you know, it's going to be a whole different thing. Because God's bringing the reverential fear and awe of God back to the church. Amen. He really is. And it is pure mercy and pure love to protect those that are being deceived. Because that's what the love is really about. Part of it is that to protect those that are being deceived by these people. And in essence, if I'm being deliberately and willfully deceptive. Yeah. So the throne room and the book of Acts, next time you think you cry for revival, well, when you cry for revival, you're saying you don't want Donald Trump to be president, according to the book of Acts. You're saying that you want a Biden presidency, which I didn't vote for. You're saying that you don't want, you're saying that you want the religious leaders to try to kill you. Yeah, there you go. There's going to be martyrs. There's martyrs in the book of Acts. People killed, all kinds of things. Is that what you want? You sure that's what you want? Well, whatever it takes, Randy. I think it's what you say, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what we need to say. All right. There was a case on Judge Judy today. Oh, what, listen to this. Angela from the Carolinas sent me this just now. She said she's listening to the show. Thank you, Angela, for sharing this. Let me just say, Angela's in South Carolina. Yeah. Always see the Carolinas. She said, Randy, laugh out loud. There was a case on Judge Judy today where husband and wife both lied trying to protect their property, and she threw them out of courtroom. Please prophesy over them. She threw them out of the courtroom. Yeah. Let me tell you something, friend. The reason I preach this tonight is because God says, God's showing me, but I could have read it any time. But the Lord just said, do it tonight. Download this tonight. I wanted to do it last night and the night before last week. The Lord said, download this tonight. I wanted to get in my people's ears because you're not going to just be able to lie and get by with things deliberately and willfully, that is. Now, if you want to get right with God, you've been lying, cheating, and deceiving, you know, doing stuff that's bad, you know, and you want to get right with God, that's a whole different thing. Take communion with us. Get right with God, be honest. Maybe you can't tell your wife or your husband what you've been doing. Maybe you can't do that. You don't ever find somebody that you can be honest with and stop lying. Stop lying and get the lies right because it's just destroying you. Just destroying you. So when fear comes on the church, the reverence and fear and awe of God, like it did in the book of Acts, the brand new grace, Jesus' blood just shed, yeah, the church just formed, that's happening. Persecution, people dying, governments coming against it, the religious leaders killing you. Saul killed people. You want that? Well, that's what's going to happen. So if you don't want it, then you might have to ask God why you don't want it and try to get it right with it. All right, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. All right, we'll get ready for it. All right, Kim, be able to do the show. Thanks for letting me know about that. All right, 469 is going to be our first caller tonight. And then I'm going to yes, many people have said the same thing. Period. Yeah, Jeannie's saying Blog Talk keeps kicking me off. I don't know what's going on with it, man. And we just made our monthly payment too. They just took it out of my bank account, I think last night actually. So they better get their stuff on the ball here. All right. Yeah. Hang on a second here. It's 11:11. Nikki says in Florida it's 11:11. Perfect time to start ministering, right? 11:11. Okay, 469. You're going to be our first caller tonight. And then after that, 734, you'll be next. 325 will be next. And then 214 with a 534, 563 number. You'll be after that. And then 585. You'll be after that. 754. You'll be after that. 202, you'll be after that. Okay. And then 972, you'll be after that. And then 912. That's all the callers on the show. Only nine callers made it on the show tonight. Everybody else is off. Some of the people are wondering what's going on. But thank you for letting me know about that. And then 912, you're my. And then I'll be prophesying to people that aren't on the show to text me after that. All right, 469. Who am I talking to? Where from, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Garrett and Candace from Texas.
Hey, Garrett and Candace. Good to have you guys. Let's go here. Good to have you guys tonight. Garrett and Candace. All right, thank you, Juice, for Garrett and Candace. All right, thank you, Father, for Yes, it's doing that tonight. I'll minister to you, and it'll be on the archive, unless you listen to the show right now in some other manner. I'm on through the blog talk with. Okay. Yeah, just let me know that you're on. People are texting me, letting me know they're on. Thank you for that. Okay. Thank you. Okay, thank you for that. All right. It's kind of been crazy tonight. I love it, though. It just tells me something's going on, man. Something's really going on. It's really cool. I love this stuff. You know, things go kind of weird to me. It's like, you know, it's so frustrating, but it's kind of a sign sometimes. Yeah, that, you know, we'll kick it into something. The enemy doesn't like it. And I don't know if it's just spiritual intervention or just a blog talk having a bad night. I honestly don't know. But either way, it's still amazing. All right. Candace and Garrett, good to have you guys tonight. Okay, well, we pray for and I think that's Renee. Oh, that's Renee Baskin. Renee, yes. Well, good to have you guys. It's Renee. All right, your mommy's on. Your mom, Candace. Isn't that cool? I remember when I first met you guys a long time ago. In, I think, Longview, Texas. All right, we'll get your mom right after we minister to you. Anybody else on the line there with you? Renee, anybody else on with you, Renee, other than just you? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for and Garrett and Candace tonight. Thank you, Jesus. What a night, man. It's been crazy. It's really wow. All right. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you for all the adjustments and all the things that you're making in their lives, God. I thank you, Father, for establishing them in your covenant, God, because when you're established in the covenant and you're walking in the covenant of God, then that doesn't matter what comes against you, that the enemy cannot pass through the covenant. That doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean everything you do is exactly right, because none of us do that. But when you're walking in covenant with God and you're doing your best to obey him and doing what he says, then the enemy cannot. Then you have a Psalms 91 situation going on. A lot of Christians don't walk in covenant with God. They do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. And therefore, you know, God loves them. They die, they go to heaven, but it's not about that. It's not a heaven issue. It's a protection in the earth realm issue and a provision realm issue. And so when we have a covenant with God and we're activating that covenant and living in that covenant, you know, when God needs us to do something, we don't say, well, I don't have time. We do it when he asks us to. You know, that's covenant. That's what a covenant is. Covenant is when two people make covenant, whatever you have and they need it, you make it available to them, you know. And it's not abuse and misuse of it, because you won't do that in a covenant. In a covenant, you're honest with each other. You need something and somebody can provide that for you, the other person, then they do it. Then you go to war and you go come fight a battle with them, you go get them to fight a battle. It doesn't matter if you got stuff going on. If they need you right then, that's what a covenant is. And obeying God. And that's what brings, that's what actually seals our protection and our provision. Other than that, it's like the blood of the doorpost. If one Israelite family, if they wouldn't have had the blood of the doorpost, we're Christian, we're Israelites, you know, we have a covenant with God. If they didn't do what God said by putting the blood on the doorpost, then when the angel of death comes, if one or a thousand, the Jews wouldn't have had the blood of a lamb over the doorpost, the angel would have said, they're going down. Because the angel recognizes what God says. Angels recognize what God is doing. If angels recognize, like Donald Trump being not being president, that the angels recognize that. That's why it didn't happen. Because God shifted things. I mean, who understands why and how and all that? I don't know. But, you know, so obviously, the angel said, well, it's time for Biden. We don't really like Biden's abortion or some of the stuff he believes in, and his people believe in, at least. I don't know if he believes in abortion or not, but his party does. And so the angel said, we don't really believe, but, you know, the Father says it's time for something new to go on. We're gonna, you know, there's a shift in the government right now, and that's just what the angels say. The angels only bring to pass what God says. Right? They don't just kind of like, you know, they're going to be nice, you know. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't put the blue on the doorpost, you know, because they thought they were Israelites already, you know, no problem. No, I mean, you know, no blood on the doorpost at that moment. When God said do it, they would have been whacked. Why are we talking about whacking a lot tonight? I don't know. Because I think we're going to enter into a season of the fear and reverence of all of God where, you know, heathen people better be careful how they come against the body of Christ, because we'll pray forgiveness for them. But when you pray forgiveness for people, you leave them into the hands of God. Garrett and Candace, right? That's what we do. We leave them in the hands of God and let God be the judge, because they may be doing it because, you know, some something or another, and God says, I want to get them saved. I want them saved. They're fighting you because I want them to connect to you, so you start praying for them. Well, God, help some heathens that come against some Christians because they start praying that they get killed or something. You know, we're not praying that. We're not that. Sometimes God allows people to fight you and come against you, so you'll pray for them. Right? We don't curse those who fight us and hate us and despitefully use us. We bless them. Why? Sometimes God will cause people to fight against you so that you will pray for them because he wants to get them saved. And so God, having you look at his covenant and the ways of God in a way that you've never known or seen before, maybe you never thought about it all the time, at least, to have you reestablish, you know, it's not my will, it's the will of God. What's God saying? If God says you put the blood on the doorpost, then you do it whether you agree with it or not. You know, and if God says if you don't have the blood on your doorpost, you know, your provision is going to be whacked, you're going to be whacked, your first one's going to be whacked, you know, it's not good. Because God's going to do what he says. And the angels always bring to pass what God says, not what the prophets say, if the prophets are prophesying their own will, not what the overall agreement in the body of Christ is and what they think God's, no, it's what God chooses to do, that's what he does. And so we're walking into that place, we're living that place, and people are going to start really, you know, we're all going to start crying out. Oh, God, you know, why is this person coming against me right now? Why do they hate me so bad? Well, because I don't want to get them saved. Just pray for them. But they're fighting. They're coming against me. Yeah, just pray for them. Do good to them. And I'm going to bless you for it. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake. And I'm going to use you in your prayers to save them. I mean, that's how Paul the Apostle got saved. Yeah, thank God he persecuted the right Christian that day. I feel sorry for people that persecute the wrong Christian, man. They'll be praying to get their head whacked off. Right? Or something close to that. But no. What did Stephen pray when Paul was having him, was in authority over him being stoned? Saul was watching over that. He was holding the clothes of Stephen, of the guy that stoned him. He was holding the clothes. He was right there with legal approval to do that. But what did Stephen do? Thank God Stephen prayed what he did, and we would have had Paul. Yeah, he prays, oh God, be merciful to him. Do not hold this against him. And they were killing him. They were stoning him for nothing, for healing the sick and raising the dead, or whatever he was doing, and doing miracles, and with great wisdom. And thank God, a holy man of God prayed, instead of asking God, you know, that's sorry, no good, bum, how dare him, who do you think he is, that kind of thing. I've prayed a few of those before. Thank God I'm getting delivered. But, you know, thank God, you know, because, you know, Paul got saved. So Saul got knocked off his horse and became, you know, the man who wrote most of the New Testament, all because a Christian did. So God's teaching you guys, how to walk in covenant with him. How to do what he says, how to do what the Word of God says. Because the Word of God is your only protection. And what God says, it's not just the Word of God is your only protection, but what the prophets, when prophets prophesy under the anointing and by the Spirit of God, and they're speaking by the Spirit of God, then what they say is what God is saying, and that protects you also. Right? So that's why it's important to know what a true prophet, which prophet is right with God at the time. At the time. That sounds funny, doesn't it? It's prophesying. Then you know, it's going to happen. You know, prophesying Donald Trump's going to be president when he wasn't going to be, that did not make some people look very good. Oh, he stole, they stole it. So God didn't know they were going to steal it. I don't understand that one. I know people are mad at me about that, but dude. So there you go. And so learning how to walk in covenant for not only just for your provision, but for your protection, because that's where the protection is, you know, in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for Candace, God. I thank you for giving her the wisdom on how to shine the light on the things that you called her as a woman to do, as a mother to do, to shine the light of the Word of God on their family, on their children, and God, so that they can, their children will be raised in the protection of God's covenant, feel safe and protected. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given her wisdom to do that, and given her knowledge to do that, and the labor that she does in the spirit by God is going to bring provision her way. Because when you do what God says, He always rewards you. You don't have to be in the ministry to get rewarded, and financially, but because if you need finances and you're obeying God, He will reward you, and God wants you to know when you're walking in covenant, He will reward you. Period. Right? Then we got to activate that covenant and live in that covenant, and not just do just what the Bible says, because the Bible can say do one thing one time and another thing another time. So we have to know what's coming out of the mouth of God about which thing we do. You know, the Bible doesn't contradict itself, but in many different situations, it says do different things, right? So we can talk about that, but I'm not going to do it right now. But so it's what comes out of the mouth of God that God's teaching you. You have a heart for that. Your family has had a heart for that. Your family, it's rooted in your family. It's birthed in you. It's in you. It surrounds you. God's going to show you that in these you know, in these coming years, He's going to show you that He's going to activate those things that have been prophesied and spoken over you, and you've been dedicated to God. You're going to see some things activating you that you don't even know what's going on. Like, what's going on, man? What's God doing? Wow, that's amazing. This is amazing. What's God doing? Wow, how can this happen? Well, you've been dedicated to God. We all make mistakes. We all fail. We all, you know, do things, I mean, you know, that we don't understand. We're doing, not doing the right thing. But, you know, that's what grace is all about. And mercy and God's favor is, unmerited favor, is because He comes in and He starts moving and showing us His power and His love and His provision for you in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for that family protection and for that family provision. Hallelujah. And for Garrett, God, I thank you for Garrett, God, that you've anointed him to be the man of God, to be the head of the household, God, that the head of the household recognized gifts. The head of the household recognized callings. The head of the household recognized wisdom. The head of the household has discernment to know, you know, sometimes an administrative thing, to know, you know, what the wife has that you don't have and what you have that the wife doesn't have. And being able to listen to your wife when she has good things and the gifting toward that area. And you, what gifting you have, and the wife honoring that, and you guys coming into unity about that. And unity is what brings protection and provision. Unity. We don't have to agree on everything, but we do. We're doing what God says, as far as allowing the gifts that are in our mate to activate. Wives need to do that to their husbands, and husbands need to do that to their wives. Just because your husband's not perfect, because your wife's not perfect, doesn't mean when they're Christians, it doesn't mean that they don't have gifts and things. If you learn to listen to them and honor them, you may find your blessings be a lot more powerful, a lot more solid. In Jesus' name. And I see fear being broken. I see fear of failure, fear of condemnation. I see that being broken in Jesus' name. I see, you know, legal things being diminished in Jesus' name and walls falling down in Jesus' name and the establishing of what's just before God. You're going to find God to be a just God in Jesus' name. Garrett, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for Renee and in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for Renee. We thank you, Jesus, for blessing her. God, we thank you for opening up this whole realm of covenant, Father, that her family has covenant, that when we have covenant with you, God, it's for our household. They put the blood over their household, which didn't just represent their particular house. It represented their family. It represented other household, their blood kin, the blood kin. That when we, you know, so that covenant that you made covenant with God, Renee, you're gonna see God's gonna just like I'm giving to your daughter and her and your son-in-law, that you're gonna see God starting to bring protection and provision in Jesus' name supernaturally because of God's covenant, and I see God, you know. Lining out things that have been misunderstood, people that have misunderstood things, that have tried to cheat and lie. I see God restoring things that to you guys, things that have been robbed and taken, and by misguided people, by people who have maybe looked like they were good people, but I see God putting the pressure on them and causing them to yield up what belongs to you. In Jesus' name, and God restoring what the cankerworm and fallworm has eaten, and God restoring that and bringing back health and prosperity in Jesus' name to your family, and causing, you know, God to show that the Lord is the head of your household, that you're married to Jesus, you're married to the Lord, and the head of the household is going to be, you're going to see that happen like never before. Yeah, Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else I need to pray for before I move on here, you guys? You can text me and let me know. Oh, Russ. Yes. Sorry. I had Russ in my mind, and I was like, okay, yes. We thank you for Russ's health today, God. We thank you, Jesus, for that for this whole thing about health, God, and covenant, and pleading the covenant before God Almighty in Jesus' name, and declaring, you know, and getting that blood over the doorposts as far as, you know, acknowledging that covenant with God. A lot of Christians, I've had people tell me when I started doing the blood over the doorpost every week, I did it for years, I'm still going to do it when we have it in our studio, and they would tell me, oh, well, you know, I don't need that because I'm a Christian. You know, I'm going like, well, you don't understand. The Israelites were Israelites. They were God's children. But when God said put the blood on the doorpost, that's what God said there. So they did it. So God teaching you, showing you how to reactivate that blood covenant over your life, over your family, over Russ's life in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I just speak in Jesus' name. I speak your resurrection power. Pour into Russ's body right now. I curse every element of disease and sickness in Jesus' name and death of any kind of form, any fashion, and Russ's health in the name of Jesus. I command his health to spring forth. I command everything. I command his cells to line up. I speak forgiveness of sin, Father, not of Russ's sin or Renee's sin, but of the sins of the fathers maybe that got passed down and opened up the door of these things. I speak forgiveness of the sins of the fathers, Father, from things that get passed down from generation to generation. I speak, like Jesus said to the one man, he said, your sins are forgiven, you get up and walk. I don't know if he was talking about his particular sins, but I know he was reaching back into the sins of men, of mankind. And I speak, Father, forgiveness of sin, Father, of the fathers in Russia's life, in Jesus' name, of his fathers and fathers, the bloodline, in Jesus' name. Any door open through the bloodline, in Jesus' name, because I know Ray and Russ are godly people. They love God. And I thank you, Jesus, for the bloodline that's opened up any doors in Jesus' name. I speak forgiveness. I release the washing of the blood of Christ over my precious brother, my godly brother, the man of God, Russ Baskin, in Jesus' name. And I command that blood to cleanse and wash and close every door of the operation of health issues in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Restore the cells in his body right now in the name of Jesus. Restore the cells in his body right now. I declare resurrection power to restore the cells, the DNA in his body in Jesus' name. And where those sins of the fathers, they have opened up, you know, some type of opening for that. I speak the closing of the door to that, Father, that Russ is a holy man of God, a man of the covenant. In Jesus' name, I declare decree he is a servant of the living God. And I speak him healed and delivered in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. All right, it's been a bit of a wild and crazy night. It's been awesome. All right, 734-672, who am I talking to very quickly?
Jennifer from Michigan.
Hi, Jennifer. All right, yeah, Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. Good to have you. Yeah, Jennifer called in last week. And it's amazing. She calls in, and I'm ministering to her, and I said, I see, like, a flow of water, like, coming out of a water hose, and it's, the water's divided, like, one flow's going to the right, one's going to the left, but there's nothing, like, really in the middle. And I said, I see this happening. And I said, as soon as my mind went, come together, the flow came together, instead of two flows, you know, it wasn't divided anymore. It was one. And she says, you're not going to believe this, Randy. I have a picture right in front of me of that very thing, like a waterfall, I think, she said. And that it was flowing in both directions, to the right and to the left. And I think she said something about an angel did something and caused it to come together in the middle, bring it back to one flow. And I went, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me. It was just amazing. And so I thank you, Lord God, for restoring health to my sister, God, restoring health and in Jesus' name, and restoring the patterns, restoring the patterns of life. Let the patterns be reestablished with her in the name of Jesus. Let the patterns of life be reestablished with Jennifer tonight. I don't even know what that means, Jennifer, but I can see it in the spirit. The patterns, let the patterns turn. Let the patterns turn toward God. Let the patterns of blessing begin to manifest in Jennifer's life. I speak to the patterns. Like Moses said, God said, just follow the pattern, Moses, and you'll be fine. So sometimes there's a pattern that God will give, and when the pattern, for some reason, the enemy's messed it up or something's happened or something's caused it to go the wrong direction for whatever reason, we have to intervene in that. In Jesus' name, and I come in and I step in and I speak intervention that the patterns will be reestablished to the pattern that God has of blessing and freedom and health and life. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Be reestablished in the foundations of the Lord God Almighty for the pattern to be changed from all those bad things going on to the good things of God going on in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let it be done, God. I declare and decree it. The patterns shift. The patterns change in her whole life, in her body, in her DNA. And in Jesus' name. And I'm speaking forgiveness over a lot of the sins of the fathers right now. I guess something I've been teaching a little bit. And I speak over the sins of the fathers in your life again, Jenna. I think I did this before, but I'm going to do this a lot. Especially as God really impresses me to do it. But I speak the sins of the fathers forgiven, Jennifer. Things maybe you don't even know, things people did, didn't, you know, and it's in your bloodline in Jesus' name. I speak to your blood, the blood of Jesus. I speak into your bloodline, the sins of the fathers forgiven. Rise up and let a new pattern be established with you right now in the name of a new pattern. Moses said, told him, do this after the pattern that I've set. Lord, I thank you for setting the pattern on God's pattern, the pattern God has, that Satan cannot intervene. He cannot mess up. He cannot stop unless we break the pattern. So that pattern has been interfered with and broken, and now I speak a reestablishing of the pattern. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I declare and I decree it right now by the Spirit of the living God. Let it be done in Jesus' name. In the sins of the fathers, they are washed and cleansed and made whole and reestablished, her God, in every area of her life, to be reestablished upon the throne room of God in Jesus' name. I set her up, set her in the presence of God, the throne room of heaven in Jesus' name, that she can walk in the pattern, that the pattern will be reestablished in her life, cover, protect, heal, and establish her in God's ways and God's will. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. A new pattern is being set right now in Jesus' name. Let it be set. And God may give you some scriptures, Jennifer, about that too, in specific about the patterns. I don't even know, you know, when I first heard pattern, I was trying to say something else and pattern came out, so I know God was saying something there. patterns. So sometimes it's systems. You know, systems is another way of saying it. You know, cycles. But it came out patterns. So that's what the Lord wanted us to say there in Jesus' name. How will he reestablish the pattern of blessing? And then, which things are done. All right, 325-280, who am I talking to you right from, please?
Chris from Texas.
Oh, hey, Chris. All right, Chris. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I just want to go right away to the, I want to do this a lot tonight, probably. I'm doing this, I've already done this over some of you, I'm going to keep doing it, because God's showing me to keep washing our genes, washing our genetic code, washing our connection to the fathers. The sin to the bloodline is what's connected us to the fathers. And Lord, I just thank you in Jesus' name that I speak forgiveness over the sins of the fathers in Jesus' name. We don't know what they've done or haven't done, and that gets into our bloodline. It's a documented fact. It's a medical fact. It's a scientific fact. It's a biblical fact. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're reestablishing a new line of blessing in Chris's life, a new line of blessing. In other words, a new line, like Jesus Christ brought forth a new line of sons of God, of people of God. And I thank you, Lord, for reestablishing a new line of blessing in Chris's life. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father, for breaking the power of anything that would hinder his 100-fold prosperity. That you prosper him 100-fold, that he walk in the will of God 100% in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up the rivers of God and let him receive that faith that is exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think or even imagine, according to the power that works within him, God. And I speak to the power of God that works within Chris right now, and I command that power to increase and multiply. The Lord's saying, Chris, find ways to give that power away. Find ways to give the bread away. Find ways to serve God. And I know you already serve God in many different ways, but ask God to show you ways to give away the life of God. Hallelujah. If it's just in prayer, if it's just to your children, to your wife, to your family, to your friends, God give you wisdom on how to break the bread so that God can bring the increase in Jesus' name. When Jesus blessed the bread and broke it, as he gave it away, it increased and multiplied. And it never quit multiplying, and it came back in abundance. And I thank you, Jesus, that for the wisdom that you've given Chris, God, right now, in Jesus' name, the wisdom of God, he's stepping into a golden era of the wisdom of God for his sufficiency in Jesus' name, under the covenant of Jesus, under the power of Jesus. Hallelujah. Right now, God, I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done in Chris as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 I speak that the blessing of Abraham upon you, Chris, in Jesus' name. God blessed Abraham in cattle, sheep. He blessed him in his family, his seed, Abraham, Isaac, and all of his other sons. They were really all blessed, the tribes of Israel. So I thank you, Jesus, that the blessing of Abraham, God, I thank you, Lord, for that. And also that prophetic anointing that was upon Abraham, that be upon Chris, God, in Jesus' name, to prophesy to his land, to prophesy to his people, to prophesy over his children. You know, Abraham prophesied over every one of his children. And everything, every prophecy he gave wasn't all that pretty either. Some of them he said, you know, but he prophesied over them. I speak the Abrahamic prophetic anointing be upon you, brother, to speak over your family, to pray over your family, to start breaking the bread in whatever ways God gives you, to break bread and give it away in Jesus' name and get that increase going in the supernatural realm, that where no devil can touch it, no human being can touch it, amen, because it's protected by God Almighty. I've never told anybody that before. That's amazing. The Abrahamic prophetic anointing. Yeah, look at if you get a chance to study, look at where Abraham prophesied over his own children and over other things too. Pretty cool. And I just thought about that tonight. I've never prophesied Abraham's prophetic anointing on people, but he was a father of many nations, and there was something going on there with the family. And amen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. 214-563, who am I talking to very friendly?
Mahogany from Texas.
Who?
Mahogany from Texas.
Hi, Mahogany. All right, Mahogany.
Hey.
Good to have you. Hey, good to have you. All right. All right, Mahogany. Mahogany. All right, Mahogany from Texas. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the heart, for the heart rending, the rending of the heart, God. You know, when the Bible talks about the rending of the heart, that's a very special, beautiful thing that goes on when the heart gets rent over something. In other words, you know, a heart being rent, it means that there's something going on in the heart, a breakthrough is happening. Like when the veil was rent in the temple. You know, there was a breakthrough that things changed. Men were now able to go stand before the Father without a priest. Amen. That's amazing. That was a big thing. They were able to stand before the Father, and I think that this has to do with your ministry and your calling, but God's showing you how to, you know, when your heart becomes rent, that means God has opened up a way for you to communicate with the Father and stand before God for people, for your family. For situations, you know, the spirit of intercession, the spirit of just, you know, prayer and being able to ask God questions and God bring the answers to you, and establishing that thing where you're standing before God and realizing that your heart is open to God. Your heart is able to breathe the breath of life into you. I see the Holy Spirit breathing the breath of life into you, like when he said it to the disciples before the day of Pentecost. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Receive. He breathed into their nostrils. Could you imagine Jesus breathing into your nostrils, what that was like? Wow, through your nostrils. I can picture that one. Yeah, that's what I see happening. And there's something about the breath of God, the heart being rent. God, breathing, being able to breathe through, you know, something and breathing into your nostrils, the breath of life and the power of the Holy Spirit. Something happening, Mahogany, with your calling, with your ministry, with your standing before God. That's not, that mean you're a five-fold ministry person, you know, it doesn't have to mean that. I ministered before God before I ever thought I had a calling, you know, and so do you. So I see you really, God, breathing into your nostrils the power of the Holy Spirit and causing you to breathe in. And what I see is you being able to breathe in God and breathe out God. Not just breathe him in, not just receive from him, but give. Receiving from God, the breath of God, the Spirit of God, and breathing it out. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you're giving her room to breathe. You're giving her... I see God taking away the pressure and filling your lungs with a fresh breath of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name to give you words, to give you information that when you breathe out, that your vocal cords are going to kick in information and words in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Loosen her vocal cords, God, to breathe through her vocal cords in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let that be done right now. I think Gary from Gary, who had his throat operation, Gary Mary, told me, I think you said we breathe through our vocal cords. I didn't even know that. I didn't know we breathe through our vocal cords until he said that. He said that to me, a text, I think a few, not long ago. And I went, we breathe through our vocal cords. See, and I just thought about that right now. I mean, that's news to me. So breathing through your vocal cords, the breath of God, with words, with power, with the, you know, power to pray, And say what God wants you to say, and you know, like you're breaking through, your heart's being rent, you know, the veil's being rent. There's some new things, there's a new place with you and God, and I ask God to bless you, to increase your faith, that when you give to God your love, when you give to God your time, when you give to God, you know you're giving it to God, and God sees it, respects it, and honors it, and goes, you know, thank you, Mahogany, for your time. Thank you for giving me your time. Hallelujah. God is thankful when we give him our time. Believe it or not. Yeah, that's a fact. He's going, God is a very thankful person. And he goes, thank you for giving your time. He really appreciates it when you do that. And he's going to breathe on that and increase that and multiply that. Amen. Even in your financial realm, in the name of Jesus. I will let God increase your faith, Mahogany. He's going to do it. All right. Let's go here, 585. You want to talk to me where you're from?
Hello. Hi, it's Anonymous.
Okay. Hi, Anonymous. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Anonymous tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for the favor of God, Lord, to that. Sometimes it's easy to think we have favor with God, Anonymous, but then have favor with certain people. You know, that is where we see the favor of God manifest. I mean, we can know we're favored by God, but when you start finding favor with the people, when your enemies start loving you, when people start, you know, wanting to go, like, make peace and do things, you know God's doing something because that the favor manifests itself in the realm with God. Like Jesus had favor with God and man. He didn't just have favor with God. God, you know, spoke over him. You know, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He had more than just favor with God. He had favor with man. And I see God giving you favor with man. And so, you know, just when you see that, you know, giving thanks, giving the glory, and giving the credit, I know you will, and let him show you how that when he gives you favor with man, you know, it's because there's something that he wants you to give to them. He wants you to bless them. He wants you to give them, you know, information from heaven, love, the word, compassion, mercy, you know. And so when people realize they've been getting, when they have favor, it's not because they're cute and pretty and talk nice and all that kind of thing. If it's a Christian and God's giving you favor, it's because he wants to do something with that person. And so if when you start seeing favor with why God gives you favor with people, that there is more than just, you know, getting a paycheck, having a job, somebody being nice to you. There's something there. There's something that God wants to do and wants to get done. And as he opens up your eyes to that, you're going to find yourself in the favor realm with man, because you know that favor has a purpose. And it's not just there to get you something, right, which is always the way God loves that, for it to be both sides. We give and we receive, give and receive, give and receive. So God wants you to give them. Because there's something he wants you to give to them and bless them with. Amen. That's what the favor is for. Amen. So, awesome. All right. Knowing what favor is for. And then watch God increase that favor. And he starts giving you favor with more men, more people, more human beings. And when you do, you realize that you're going to be thinking, okay, this is for a purpose. This isn't just to, you know, get me something for me and whatever I need, which is part of one part of it. But it's I'm here to be a blessing, and there's something God wants me to give to that person. When you start seeing that like that, you're going to find more favor with people. Amen. All right, 202-722, can I talk to you, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Nicole from Washington, D.C.
All right, Nicole. All right. Yeah, we had a great time the other night. Nicole was with me, I think it was a Monday night or Tuesday night. I remember one of all those nights. And talking about some really awesome things. Get a chance to listen to the show on Monday night. It was kind of the latter half of the show, but we talked about some crazy things, some amazing things about Obama, about you know, a vision of the dream he had, and put it in the book. And when I was talking something about the end times and how that a lot of these people who want the one-world system are going to regret doing it, because when they see what it does to people, what it does to the world, it's not what they wanted. But they're going to, you know, roll over in their graves, you know, or really be sorrowful that they did it. You know, I start talking like that, and Nicole just got excited. She said, you're not going to believe, you know, Obama's dream he had. And I said, what dream? And so Kanae was helping us. It was really amazing. He took us there, and we read it out. And you have to just go there and listen to it. It's pretty cool, pretty cool, really cool, actually. And anyway, so, you know, so it's what I see doing with you, God doing with you, Nicole, is that open up opportunities, and all of a sudden something kicks in like it did that night. That was an example of what I've seen. All of a sudden you get something and you're bold enough to say it and go there, and we start, you know, we just spent the whole 30 minutes or whatever it was on the rest of the show looking that up and reading that and getting into that. It was amazing. And then, you know, the show got shut off early. Somehow or another, we're having weird stuff going. I'm fixing to talk to Blog Talk again about some things, and we'll hopefully get that fixed. If they can search out, if somebody's messing with it, they can search it out. But anyway, so God giving you that sudden burst of thought process, you're going to start having sudden bursts of thought processes. And, you know, God's shown you more and more and more how to go with them, how to say it, even though it doesn't make any sense. This is the prophetic realm inside you rising up, because that's what happens to me all the time. All of a sudden, I start saying things that I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm just talking, yakking, saying stuff, going places, saying things. I don't even know what I'm talking about. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm hoping it makes sense to them, right? And most of the time, it does. So I see God really bringing you to that place to where you start speaking things and so you start getting a rush of thoughts. That's the way I'm getting a rush, like a rush of a mighty wind from the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. You know, a rushing, mighty thought process coming, just being rushing through the coming forth in you in Jesus' name. And you start going, God, you know, what does this mean? What's going on with this? Because when he's doing that, it's because it fits in. He's doing that because it has, I'm going to show you something. It's going to be maybe part of the puzzle that's been missing for a while. And you're going to see parts of the puzzle, Nicole, start coming together and start showing things, even, you know, dreams you've had, things you've had that you haven't understood. It's going to start putting pieces of the puzzle together. And I see God doing that, you know, here in the, you know, he's been doing it a little bit before, but I see an increase of that where you're going to see it a whole lot more. And the puzzles, the puzzling puzzles, there's a word. The puzzling puzzle. I was puzzled about why that puzzle didn't fit there and that didn't fit there. Now it's all fitting. Now it starts fitting. And I see God, you know, really opening it up for you. So you catch it. You get the boldness in you. You say, okay, you know, yeah, what's going on here? Got it. And you move with it. All right? So that's pretty cool. All right, hang on a second here. All right. I had to fix something there real quick. Yeah, so get ready for that, because that's the way the prophetic works. It's spontaneous. It's like, you know, off the cuff. It doesn't make sense. And that's where most people struggle with it, including myself at times, because you're thinking, this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't – what things of God make sense, really, until God makes it make sense? You know, we have to step out in faith and be able to put a piece of a puzzle out there that has nothing, no connection to anything, knowing that, trusting and believing that somehow God's going to bring the other pieces together. And that's what I see going on with you. And God's showing you, training you how to do that, how to walk in that. So it's pretty cool. All right. Awesome. All right. 972-695.
Karen from Tanisha from
Texas. Y'all are still in Texas, huh? I know you are. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that place of authority, God. We thank you, Lord, for a new brokenness, a new beauty. I see a new beauty. Brokenness brings beauty. In other words, when we become broken before God, as I get broken personally before God more and more and more, and God, you know, broken means yielded. Broken doesn't mean tore up, messed up. Broken means, you know, yielded to God so that he can say and do whatever he wants to do through me. And I see this, that brokenness in you bringing such beauty. And God, Tanisha, God using you to take people's lives that have been marred by disasters and it's just ruined them. They couldn't see any beauty in it. They couldn't see any beauty in it. That God is going to use you to help them see the beauty in it. Like we see Joseph, many stories in the Bible, but Joseph is one I use a lot because there's so much about his story that he couldn't see any beauty in it for quite a while. And then, you know, God kicked it in and he said, you know, what Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. He started saying, well, there's some beauty there with that. And so most people don't see beauty in their ashes. They don't see it. All they see is ashes. They don't see beauty. And there's a real anointing on you to prophesy, to even sing. If you you may sing like me. I don't know. I don't ever sing for it. I know Paris sings really good, but you don't have to sing good, right? There's a song inside you. I see a song rising up within you. And you do kind of like I do. I don't really sing that well, but when a song comes up with me, I just sing it the best I can. It may sound horrible, everybody going like it. But you know what? There's a song. God says, let the song arise within you. Let the song arise within you. And sing it to the Lord and sing it to God's people because there's something about the beauty of God. I see the beauty of God rising up within you and showing you the pain and the suffering that you suffered, you know, all your life at different times, different seasons. And at different times, seeing beauty in all that. And when God starts turning your ashes into beauty, I mean, that's a miracle. That's an amazing place to be before God, to see your ashes and all that turn into beauty. In fact, let me see that scripture real quick here. I know it's Isaiah somewhere, ashes into beauty. Let me get that scripture here real quick. Yeah, Isaiah 61. And provide for the, watch this. Oh, I forgot about this part. This is amazing. This is exactly what I was just saying, or pretty close. This New International Version says, and provide, Tanisha, provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. Look at that. There's the garment of praise. I think that's what I was seeing. I was saying sing a song. Maybe I should have said the garment of praise, right? I mean, I didn't connect that. Yeah, a garment of praise. It's like it's a garment that you put on people. Instead of a spirit of despair, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Oh, my gosh, the display of his splendor. Lord, I thank you for that anointing for beauty. That's what I see, that God thinking. The ashes for beauty, for making the beauty anointing, God, for people will see the beauty in their pain, or people will see the beauty in what's going on in their life. Yeah, and bring them from despair to praise, to oil of joy instead of mourning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, there's just a sense of an anointing on you, a sense of a new freshness, a sense of a new awareness with you, a new awareness. Like there's, I hear the Lord say, there's a new awareness in you that's going on, and that awareness is going to, you know, do this very thing right here. It's amazing how the scripture just says, it's just almost literally what I was saying to you, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, who have, you know, this is amazing how, you know, this fits in with exactly what I saw in Jesus' name. And I thank you for that anointing, God, for people that are in despair. We're going to see people go into great despair, especially when they find out that they're not going to be raptured. I don't want to go there. Especially when they go through hard times and struggles and battles. And things don't go well, things like Joseph, because Joseph's whole thing was that everything he dreamed, he thought was going to happen, didn't happen at all like he thought. It ended up being greater, but he went through crushing. He went through, and so you understand that. You're aware of that. You know that. And Joseph finally, by the grace of God, was able to break through that, and he kept serving God. Because he was loyal and faithful, he didn't miss his divine appointment. And that's another thing right there, that you're going to be like God's secretary helping people make their divine appointments. Hello, this is Tanisha from God's Throne. May I help you? Yeah, I'm trying to set up an appointment with Jesus. Can I? Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, okay, yeah, I can do that for you. I'll see if I can put in a good word for you. Yeah, you can do it yourself, but since you know, you're not really there yet, I'll do it for you, okay? Okay, gotcha. Appointments, divine appointments. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So people can see. They can be made aware what's really going on, what's real, what God is trying to do. I said earlier to somebody, I can't remember who it was, but that sometimes when the enemies get stirred up against you, it's because God wants to talk to them. And he needs to get the right Christian. You get the wrong Christian who's full of despair and sees everything negative. You don't want God's not going to use those Christians to bring people against them, because they'll curse them and put them in the grave, you know, like, kill them, God. You know, but when somebody like Stephen has, you know, that come against him, what did he do? He prayed mercy and grace and don't hold this against them. And because of that, we have Paul the Apostle, because of Stephen and his prayer. Amen. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you tonight for Terrence. God, I thank you for Terrence. God, I thank you for the Bible Hub, like, you know, the Bible Hub thing here that I always look at. I looked at my phone, Bible Hub, and Lord said, tell Terrence, Bible Hub. You know, a Bible Hub, and it's like the hub of the Word of God, the hub of you know, in interpreting the Word of God and understanding the Word of God in practical, everyday living. Because sometimes people, you know, over-spiritualize everything where people can't relate to it in their everyday lives. And God is really wanting to use you to have the hub of Bible understanding, where, you know, the hub's, you know, the middle of the wheel, the hub, the center of it, to where people can understand the Bible and can relate to it. So a lot of people don't read the Bible, Terrence, you know, because, you know, they can't relate. They're all like, well, what does that mean to me? I don't understand it. And being able to break down the word and so where they can connect, like spokes connect to the hub, you know, the hub to the spoke to the hub, and all that, and to bring balance to, you know, like God using you to bring balance, like you balance a wheel, a tire that has a hubcap on it, you know, and the hub or a hub of the wheel and all that. I can't put all that together right now, but the spokes and all the things, like, you know, to balance them out, to bring a balance, the Word of God bringing balance, the hub, to balance things out to where when they're driving down the road, their car's smooth, their life goes more smoothly. You know, when you know what it's like when your wheels all out of balance, just like, you know, it could be a brand new car. The wheels are out of balance, it's like a rough ride. You can't go fast. You're going to wear your tires out. And people get wore out. People wear out their lives. They get tires wore out before they're supposed to. They have brand new tires, brand new life in Christ, and they get wore out all the time because they're out of balance. And God is using you to like a Bible hub. That's the word that I saw on my phone. Like, you know, I go to the Bible hub all the time. I look down there at my phone, which I look at this phone all the time. It says Bible hub until God says, tell Terrence, Bible hub. So that's what I'm doing. All right. So to bring a balance to God's people, to be able to practically identify with the Word of God and go, yeah, man, that fits me. Yeah, that's what Jesus' greatest thing was, that he was able to connect people. He taught parables, and people were able to connect and adjust their life, because they realized, yeah, I can understand that, because I am a farmer. You know, I know about dirt and crops. And Jesus said, yeah, so is with the kingdom of heaven. And they go, ding. Got it. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. And so, Bible hub. That's all I know. To bring balance so people's ride is not as rough. It's not flopping all over the place and bouncing and wearing them out, wearing their tires out. You know, when you balance, that's part of the word. Also, a smooth ride where they don't wear out their tread. You know, where they tread upon serpents, and they're able to, you know, their tread doesn't wear out. If people's tread get wore out, you can't. How are you going to tread on something if you don't have any tread left, because you're out of balance, because you're wearing yourself out? It's getting crazier by the minute, but that's all fresh to me. I've never told that to anybody that I know of. I never thought about that before, exactly like that, so, or even close to it. So thank you, Jesus. Yeah, bring balance to bring understanding and wisdom so people can relate to it. That's what Jesus did. He was the big relation guy that related people to God. They were used to the priest, you know, and to the, you know, the Pharisees and those guys. They would teach you stuff, and they were like, oh, yeah. They didn't get anything out of it because they couldn't connect to him yet. Yeah. And so, so there you go. And you know, God using that to make things work easier. And everybody thinks, well, yeah, you know, living Christianity, you know, God is so far up there and I'm so way down here. That's why they don't pray. That's why they don't love God. They think that he's so way beyond them. And when Jesus, who came down to earth, God in the earth, connected with him, that's why they couldn't hardly believe that he was God in the earth, because, you know, he's just so everyday-ish, but yet he's so powerful. He was so natural, so everyday-ish, but yet he was so powerful. And that balance, see, there's a balance between the natural and the super, and the supernatural being balanced. Some people are really supernatural. Some people are really natural, very little super. And so there's a balance, balancing out the tires, balancing out the wheels. So people can ride their ride with Jesus. They can ride with Jesus. Amen. And be blessed. Amen. All right. 912-398. You want to talk to your phone, please? 912-318. Bless their heart, people fall asleep before I get to them. I'm with you, 318. Are you there? Thank you, 912-398. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for that's Paulette. Yeah, 398. That's Paulette. Okay, Paulette. Hang on a second. Okay. All right. Paulette. Thank you, Paulette. God bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Paulette. Well, we thank you for the compassion of Jesus, God. You know, when you learn to walk in compassion, you know, as God teaches you how to walk in compassion, Paulette, you find that compassion always has a purpose. It has a goal. It has a reason. Compassion has a purpose to it. And what's the purpose? Is to help the person. In simple terms, it's to help the person. Compassion is always moving to help people, whether it's give them $5 or give them 5 minutes or give them 5 hours, whatever the thing is. And it's always there. So when you start feeling that compassion that's so strong in you, so powerful in you, God's going to lock in a new realm of compassion inside you. And so the reason God's going to start be able to bless you at a new level is because when you understand what compassion is for, what it does, and what the purpose of it is, you're going to find yourself being more anointed, more blessed, and that increase because you go, this compassion, God's given me this because it has, he's trying to do something for somebody. And God's always looking for people that he can do things through. So what does compassion do? Compassion is the thing that draws you, that moves you. Jesus was moved with compassion. So God is loosening your compassion at another level to where you will, things you didn't have, used to have compassion on, now you're going to find yourself having compassion. Oh, wow, I've gone to a deeper level of compassion. Whoa, I feel compassion deeper now. I never really have compassion on those kind of people or those kind of circumstances or those kind of things, but now I am. Whoa, what's going on with it? Yeah, because God's using you at a deeper level, and compassion is has a purpose. It has something that it wants you to do for the person because God can't, you know, come out of a cloud and say, hey, you. He uses us. We're the cloud he wants to speak through. We're the cloud he wants to use. We're the arms and the legs and the feet and the mouth of Jesus and the eyes of Jesus. And God's really showing you that part of you, and so opening you up to that. And here's the thing, you know, I talk about this, but it's very biblical, the rewards of that. Not that we're doing it for the rewards, but that's just the way God does it. God's not some stingy, pinchy guy. But, you know, he when we work for him, you know, and the more willingly you work for him, the more he pays us. Believe me, willingness has a lot to do with the level of payment you get. So as you willingly obey God and you willingly do what he says, no matter whether it makes sense or not, the more the payment comes back to you, whether it's you need friendship, whether you need, you know, more anointing, whether you need more money, whatever you need, you know, that's what God's going to pay you back with. And so that's how God gets us connected to his provision, is through compassion. So compassion gets you thinking about something, gets you working for something, so that God can flow through you and work through you. Why? So he can bless that person or get them in the road to blessing, and then he can bless you for just like, you know, you know, that's just how God trains us. He trains us. We do something for him, he rewards us. Yeah, it's a reward system. It's all in the Bible. It's not some selfish little thing we do. It's a reward thing, and that's why God does it, because he loves to reward his people. And so, okay. So thank you, Jesus. All right. Amen. All right, let's see. Let's go here. Okay. All right, I'm connecting with people right now, so thank you for that. Okay. All right, I'm going to call people from the phone here. All right, I go here to call. I'm going to call Angela. We got you. It's Angela from South Carolina.
Yes. How's the difference?
It's me. I'm calling you from the switchboard. What I do is I can call, so I'm calling everybody that let me know they want a prayer. So thank you for doing that. All right, I'm gonna pray for you, and then I'm gonna mute you, and then well, you can hear it tonight. And
okay.
All right. Thank you, Angela. All right, Angela from South Carolina. All right. Okay. All right, Angela. Thank you, Jesus, for Angela tonight, Father. I thank you, Father, for a new realm of provision for you. I see a whole other. I see some breakthroughs happening in the realm of provision for you financially. I see some closures of things that like God. Sometimes God has to end things to bring new things. And so I see him ending some things, you know, bringing closure to some stuff so that he can, you know, he's freeing you from connections and things that, you know, have been, you know, kind of there but not really being a blessing to you. It's like I see God refining the ability to bless you. In other words, it doesn't take a lot of things and a lot of people and a lot of favor to bless us. Favor with one person, favor with one boss, one job, one company, one something on your, you can get on a website and do something, and, you know, God can bless that. It doesn't take a lot. And so I see God's favor in that, in getting your mind on the fact that God can use a small amount of people or a small amount of things, then take a whole lot of things to bring blessing to you and open up the blessing room to you that God can take little and make much out of it. And this whole realm about taking little and making much out of it. And I see God really opening that up and bringing you favor in that sense to show you that we don't have to have a lot going on to be blessed. We can have a few, a little bit, but that little bit's really pure, really set apart, really, you know, God's really got you in it. And God can have you connected with some heathen. God can connect us with heathens. We can have people come in. If I had a business, people in my business, they were heathens. You know, God's bringing them in there because he wants to connect them to you, because he wants you to talk to them, minister to them, love on them, whatever. So it's not about whether they're heathen or they're saved or not, or how many there are. It's the fact that when God brings them, you know, he's going to bring blessings to you. He's going to bring blessings. And sometimes if a Christian won't bless us, God will use a heathen to do it, you know, a generous heathen or whatever, to come in and do business or take care of things or whatever. Yeah, so God really opening your eyes to a whole other level of his provision realm, that it doesn't take a lot for him to do a lot. And so he's going to cause your faith to, to be kind of like readjusted in a sense that, like Elijah, when Elijah had, you know, the servant, Elisha, where the servant was asking him, he said, man, we got, you know, there's 1,000 people out there, really two, they're going to kill us all. And Elisha said, well, open up his eyes, God, to show him, you know, that there's more for us than there is against us. And you know, there's only two of them, right, and 1,000 of the enemy. They didn't have a chance. But so God opened up his eyes and showed him, the servant, how many angels there were around. The reason Elijah wasn't upset, because he knew the angels were there, right? Isn't that cool? And we think he's all cool and brave and tough. But no, he knew he was okay because he saw the angels. And he said, okay, Lord, open up his eyes so he can see him too, so he won't be afraid. Well, sometimes we're not afraid, not because we just have great courage only, but because God opens up our eyes to see that there's more for us than there is against us. And it doesn't take much, you know, of people on earth to get something done when God's doing something. So I think it's Jesus for Angela and opening her eyes and giving her a new sense of that, not be overwhelmed with, well, we don't have enough this, we don't have enough that. But God can use one person, you can use one thing, favor with one person, favor with one group, whatever. God really igniting your faith and showing you in Jesus' name, that he can bless you in that sense without a lot of people or a lot of things going on. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Angela, God bless you. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm now going to call Mickey from Florida. Let me go here and get the number. All right. Okay. Okay. Okay, I think I got it now.
Hello.
There you are. You're alive and well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am, Randy. It's Mickey from Florida.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know what went on with the phone lines tonight, but I don't know, just really weird. We had several people. I thought it was just like one or two, and then it ended up being several people that weren't able to get in. So I'm glad we got to go. I just thought about this. I could call people. That would be nice. All right. All right, so let's pray for you, and just bless you tonight. Thank God for you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Nikki tonight, Nikki and Charles. We thank you for Nikki's life, God. Hallelujah, God. We just thank you, Lord, that as she, you know, I see you just like, I see you like bringing your body, your physical body, to God as a living sacrifice in a way that maybe, you know, I know you've offered your body as a living sacrifice many times, God, just like I have, but I see you like specifically, or God wanting to, you to know that he wants you to offer your body at this particular time as a living sacrifice for him. And maybe lay out before him, I don't know how you'd want to do it, however God would give you to do it, your own way, however he shows you that. Just come before him like you know, you have, you know, just standing before him as a as his child, as the one he loves, as the one that you love. And just presenting your body, presenting your body, to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Yes, Stephanie, we'll cross over you too. Okay, thank you. A living sacrifice. And just like, you know, in the Old Testament, when they took, you know, like when they took a lamb or a bull or whatever they took, what does call you a lamb? This might be a bully from people, but they took it and they took the different parts of the body and they cleansed them and washed them with water and they did different things with certain parts of the body and they presented it before God. And, you know, and so I don't know exactly how they did it exactly because I never was a priest back then, but as you read in the scripture, you find out that they took different, they would take kidneys and livers and, you know, different parts of the body, and they would wash them and cleanse them and stuff, each individual part, and then they would offer them up to God. And so that, for some reason, I see, you know, God wants you to do that, again, to him in a very special way. It's not necessarily your spirit and your soul, you know, because you do that already, but your body in a new way, to offering your body as a living sacrifice to God, where anything that in your body that's not living, anything in your body that's not living, you know, as far as has full life in it, like if you have eye problems, then your eyes, you know, you bring your eyes before God. If you have bad eyes, then God gives you, you know, God wanted to give you good eyes. In other words, presenting your eyes, whatever is not functioning completely whole and completely at 100%, to presenting that before God and say, God, here, you know, like they did the priesthood, they would take the kidney and the liver and they would, you know, wash it separately and cleanse it, and then they would offer that before God. And so I see you doing that. And so that every, as you presenting your body as a living sacrifice, anything in your body that's not living fully, healthy and whole to 100%, which I don't think anybody has 100% whole. I got a lung thing that I need still. That's the thing that I've, that's the only thing I've got left that I need healing. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, and so they did that, and just, you know, maybe even take some water and just, you know, if you have eyes that are not perfect, wash your eyes out and say, God, I just cleanse my eyes like the priest did. I bring it up, cleanse them. And every part of your body that, whether it might be some kind of issue, if it's, of course, if it's internal, you can't really do a lot of that. You can kind of do the general area. So, you know, that's what I see. And just present it to God and let him wash you from, you know, from any sickness, any disease, anything in your eye, weak eyes, you know, I have a bad muscle or bad toe or whatever the problem is, and wash it and present it before God like the priest did when they took every part of the body and they washed it and cleansed it and then they offered it to God. So there's something about that. I don't know what's going on with it, but it's really pretty cool. And present your whole body as a living sacrifice so that the living virtue of Christ can flow into every part of your body fresh and anew in Jesus' name. You know, like Peter said, yeah, Lord, well, cleanse my whole body. Peter said, no, you can't wash my feet. Peter, and Jesus said, if I can't wash your feet, then you can't. You know, he said, okay, well, wash my whole thing, wash everything. You know, so it's kind of something like that. It's that we're talking about you know, offering your whole body as a living sacrifice so that the living Christ can come into every part of your body and wash and cleanse and heal. If something needs to be healed, he can heal it. If something needs to be, you know, dealt with, he'll deal with it and he'll bless it and, you know, love and pour his love out on it in Jesus' name and anoint it with oil. Anoint them with oil, every part of your body that needs it, you know, in Jesus' name. I remember one time years ago, years and years ago, before I even moved to Dallas, I had a church going on there, and I got a big bottle of olive oil, and I had some of my friends that don't work with me in the ministry there, my deacons, and I had them, I put out a big piece of plastic, and I said, I want you to pour this oil on my head. That's what I did. And they pour. They said, okay, whatever you want. They pour this big bottle of olive oil all over my head. It ran down my head, on my shirt, on my legs, everywhere. And they're going like, okay, this is what you want. I said, yeah. Of course, it didn't mess up the carpet because we had, you know, yeah, the tarp down there. But, and I dedicated myself to God. It was a crazy thing, but God told me to do it. And thank God I had willing people to help me do that. But, yeah, that's what I did. And I believe God did something with me. I don't know exactly what. I couldn't tell you what exactly. But he brought me forth. And, yeah, I mean, I moved to Dallas, and, you know, things started happening. So I don't know what's up with that, but there you go. In Jesus' name. All right. Okay. All right, Nikki. Awesome. Oh, Charles. Charles. Poor Charles. I don't remember him. My brother Charles, the man of God. Lord, I just thank you, God. You show him he's a man of God. Lord, that he's a man that's called by God in Jesus' name with all his weaknesses, all his failures, and all of his blessings, all the things he does really awesome, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything. Just bring it all, Jesus. I just think, you know, wow, there's something going on. A dedication time for you guys. Like I see you, you know, Charles dedicating himself before God, you know, just setting himself apart for the Lord for this season, for this time. There's a whole lot of new things going on, and it's like God is saying, rededicate yourself for the new things so you don't miss your visitation, so you don't miss your time, so you don't miss anything. And so I'm going to have several people going to be calling, so just give me a little time here, you guys. I'll be calling. So, yeah, it's like a rededication time, like a setting yourself apart for a new season. And, you know, and I'm just, you know, that's what God's saying. So, really awesome. You know, like when Elijah built the altar and, you know, presented before the Father, and God poured out his fire on him on the altar and licked it up and showed that he was, you know, yeah, it's time. I think we're at a fire time. I think we're at the time of fire on the altar. And so as we dedicate ourselves, rededicate and reactivate, you know, our setting ourselves apart into the Lord, that you're going to see something go on, something break loose. I see tears flowing. I see, you know, like love flowing through you, Charles, in a brand new fashion, in a brand new way. Amen. Dedication, rededicating, like a sanctifying and setting apart, offering your lives back to God. A new season. Yeah, every once in a while, God has me do the same thing. So I think that's really cool. Amen. Okay. All right. Awesome. All right. Hang on a second here. Nikki said Charles has been at the church for 3 days now. That's awesome. Is he setting himself apart, or what's he doing? I mean, you don't have to say, but it's very interesting. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right. I'm trying to go on here and take our next caller here. Okay. All right, I'm going to call. Hang on, I got somebody else I'm going to call here. It's exciting. All right, I only came home to get a shower, and he has slept there. Everything, yes, he is setting himself apart. Oh, he's setting himself apart. Oh, wow. He slept there and everything. Yes, he is setting himself apart. That's amazing. Wow. She said Charles has been setting himself apart. That is amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Interesting. Okay.
Hello?
Okay. All right, you there?
Hey, it's Shannon. I can hear you.
Shannon, I got you. All right, my brother. I'm just letting you know.
Thank you.
Gotcha. I'm muting you, and then we can pray for you. It's kind of way we're doing it tonight. We're not going to let the devil mess with us, are we? No, we're not. That's amazing. I just gave that word to Nikki about Charles setting himself apart. And she said he's been to church for 3 days setting himself apart. That's a mind-boggling. My God, that's amazing. I don't have a clue. I don't know. I didn't know any of that. You know, they know that, but, you know, everybody knows that, I think. Anyway, there you go. All right, my brother, in Jesus' name, thank you, God, for Shannon, God. I thank you, Lord, for him, seeing, God, that you open up his ability to see, that the seer in him can see. It's one thing to have common knowledge about something, and have common knowledge about it. That's great. We need common knowledge. We need knowledge of what people are saying and doing, like you're doing with your financial thing, with the market stuff and all that. To be able to do that's awesome. But to be able to see is a whole other realm. And so taking all the knowledge in is great, and then let God show you how to rest with that knowledge, sit and meditate on it, and then let him bring thoughts to you on what to do and how to do it. Like, get information together. I've seen God do this with other people. They get this information, that information, and then they bring their information. God, I present my information before you. Now show me what you want to breathe on. Show me how you want to do this. Show me if you want to do it. Show me how you want to do it. And as you do that before God, he's going to start giving you thoughts and encouragement and giving you courage. You know, when God gets ready to do something, he gives you courage to do it. If you don't, I tell people sometimes, if you don't have the courage to do something, it may be because it's not time yet. It's courage to step out and do something, get a ministry, or get a job, do something special. If you don't have the courage to do it, it may be because it's not time yet. So when it's time to do something, God will give you courage to do it. So you bring your financial stuff before God. You write it down. Maybe build a little altar or something. Put it on the altar and say, God, this is my altar. I present this information about this. You need to have it on your phone or whatever. It doesn't matter. I present this for you. You know about this. What do you want to do about this, if anything? If you do, and then let him lay back and just let him give you, you know, dreams or visions or thoughts or just thoughts about it. And then start, experimenting and letting God, you know, I experiment with God. I test God. Sometimes I test God. If I don't know about something for sure, I test him about it, you know. And the problem is when we do a test, if we're not, it's not really a true test. We're just like faking it. I did some fake test. I didn't really want to know that, you know, but when God told me I couldn't do it, I went and did it anyway because I really wanted to do it. So I had to repent of that. But we're really sincere, and we say, God, if you don't want me to do anything with that, then show me. Shut it down. If you want me to do something with it, then show me what to do and how to do it. And so getting information is awesome. It's powerful. And then we lay it before God and give God, you know, the time to give you thoughts and different things on that. And it's going to cause the seer in you, Shannon, to kick in, the seer. Sometimes we have to give the seer the opportunity to see. We get so covered up with information and stress and, you know, all the stuff. Sometimes we have to give the seer in us a chance to see. A seer is somebody who just knows things. It's somebody who just gets thoughts about something. And if you need to test it and see if it's God, then you can do that. Just know that when you test and God says no, we don't do it. If he says yeah, we do it. Or if you don't know, you just don't know yet. We have to put a sincere test before God. And so, God's wanting to awake the seer inside you, bro, the seer, where you can see, where you can know and understand what God is saying about this stuff, right? And I've done market stuff many times in different ways, and things that just look for sure that didn't work because I went by the sure knowledge of other people, you know, and it's always good to listen to them. Sometimes they'd be right, sometimes they wouldn't. But I learned to present it all before the Father, and let the seer in you connect and kick in, and give the seer in you the opportunity to see. Sometimes people don't give the seer a chance to see. That's why they fail, you know, at times, because they don't give the chance for the seer in them, the gift of God, to be able to see and know and look at something. To look at something, they have to present same and say, "Here, look at this." Like if you have somebody you want to look at something, you say, "Here. Here's the information. Can you look at it?" Like you sent stuff, an email to me or text me. "Can you look at this?" You know, like you got to do that with God. "Can you look at this, God? What is this? What do you want me to do? How much? What?" And all that. And he will show you. He'll give you thoughts. You start seeing it. Amen. All right. Very, very cool. All right, Shannon. Bless you in Jesus' name. All right. I'm calling Jeff and Yuka now. You got 3 9s in your number, 720. Cool.
Hello?
Hey, we got you.
Hey, this is Jeff and Yuki from the Chinese restaurant.
Oh, really? They're going to watch this tournament, man. Bless you. They're pretty smart people.
A lot of good luck in here. We're eating great food.
Oh, good. All right, let's pray for you. All right, I'm going to mute you and we'll pray for you guys. Thank you for the Chinese restaurant. I love it. I love the Chinese. I love Chinese food. I love Chinese people. Chinese people are very dedicated people. Of course, they're at a Chinese restaurant. But thank you, Lord, for opening up, God, that the moments that they recognize the visitation thing, the real thing that I'm hearing more and more about people is it's for you guys tonight. It's not the mystery of visitation. You know, and when you catch the visitation, it's like you ride the wave, trying to think. I think I shared it with you last time, but to catch the moment, to be able to catch the moment. And that's where a lot of people become successful, is they catch the moment and they realize the moment is there for a reason, and that they, and so they catch the moment and you acknowledge, of course, that God is giving you the moment, and that he's plowing new ground, or he's planting new seed, or he's harvesting. I see you guys like harvesting things, you know, like something's coming to a harvest time. I see you plowing and planting, and also watering the plants you already have. In other words, the plants are up about, you know, they're going to grow, like corn grows up pretty tall, and they're up like 2 foot, and you're watering that, right? You got some harvest going on one, there's three different levels. You got some harvest going over here, you're harvesting. Now you got three different things going on. Over here, you're watering. You got your corn growing up. It's about 2 or 3 foot high, and it's, you know, you're watering it because it's growing. It's looking really good. And then you have over here, you're digging new ground. You're plowing new ground. Like when I worked for my dad, form of that. You plow it, deep plow it, then you plow it, then you level it, and then you make rows and plant seed. So I see you like developing new land, you know, to plant new seed, to get new for, you know, and then also see, you know, the second realm is that you have plants that are already been planted like months ago or whatever, and they're grown up a little bit, and you're watering them, and then you're over here, you've got the combine out, or, you know, and you're harvesting. So those three things going on at the same time. At the same time. So God teaching you guys how to do all three things, and just like it's no big deal. You know, like, wow, we're harvesting. And we, over here, we've got a crop that's growing up. It's about halfway grown up. And over here, we're planting some, digging some new ground up, planting, getting ready to plant some more seed. So we have it. So that, so there's a progressive blessing that just, you know, just goes from, you know, one, two, three. Like, you never run out of harvest, because when you harvest that, then pretty soon the green corn is up 3 or 4 foot. You're watering it. It comes to harvest. Then you're harvesting that. Then you got, you know, while you're harvesting that, the other seed you planted that the ground you did, is the seed's growing up, and it's, you know, wheat, and it's growing up big, and it'll be soon to harvest it. And then you're plowing again and growing, and like it's this progressive thing, never ending. Always plowing, planting, always watering the crops you have, and always harvesting like this in that moment. In Jesus' name, open that up, God, right now, and let each them how to walk in that three-dimensional blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it come forth in the name of Jesus. Amen. And let the people, let them hang around, let them see their heart, let them see their wisdom, let them see the anointing on Jeff and Yuki, God, in Jesus' name, and bring that blessing, Father. Increase in multiplication, harvest, watering the plants that are there, that get healthy and strong, and they'll be harvesting before long. And then it never ends. The cycle never ends. In other words, you don't wait, you know, a year and then, you know, plant and harvest and plant and water and it grows up. It's just like a three cycles going on. And so there's always harvest. There's always crops to be watering. There's always new ground to be planting new seed in. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. As they see that and they see the favor of God in that, that they honor you, God, that as they honor you and give you praise and give you glory, and they enjoy the moments and come into agreement with God, that God, you're going to show us how to do all three levels at the same time. Like it's just nothing, like it's just the way we were born to do this. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. All right, Jeff and you. We're having to call people tonight because it's, for some reason, thought about something, letting people come in. Amen. Okay. So Stephanie is listening right now. All right. Cool. Jeff and you are saying amen. Wow, amen. It was a really, really good word. Nailed it. All right. Thank you. All right. Bless you. Thank you very much for that. God bless you. Wow, that's cool. Glad to hear it, man. Okay. Steph says just pray. So we're going to pray for her. Thank you, Steph, for that. We don't need to call her because she's listening. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Stephanie, God. I thank you for the contacts. I thank you, Lord, for opening up a new contact for people where, you know, it's like making an appointment with somebody and them be, so they can be able to contact you. Like I see, you know, contacts being made, even not only with God, but with people, that so you can have contacts. You know, when you need to contact somebody or somebody needs to contact you, you know, if they can't find you, then how can they contact you, right? The other way around, if you don't know where that person is, you can't contact them. Like I see God connecting things so they can, so you can be contacted, and so you can contact the people that you need to, or the, you know, the things that you need to contact to get a hold of, to be able to communicate. That's all, not only in the natural realm, but in the spiritual realm, to be able to connect with God on, you know, like sometimes God tries to connect with us when we get really busy. He says, hey, Steph, you know, it's getting close to your, I need you to be ready for, I'm going to pour out the blessing on you. I need you to be ready for it so you can get your, you know, get your several baskets going here. And, you know, I want you to get, instead of three baskets, bring 10 baskets because I'm going to get, so if he can't contact you and tell you to prepare and get 10 baskets this time instead of three because he wants to pour more blessing on you, that, you know, so God's going to be able to contact you. You're going to be able to get your attention. And I see God being able to get your attention because you've given your attention to him, Stephanie. And because of that, he's going to, you know, when you contact God on a regular basis, as you pray, and then let him contact you back. Like, pray and contact God, and then let God contact you back. You know, talk to you and say, okay, well, you know, it says, hey, God, what's going on? Yeah, I need a blessing. We love you, Jesus. You're wonderful. Thank God for you. Thank God for your service. Thank God for everything you bring me. And good night. You know, instead of sitting. And God's shown you how to wait on him. As you wait on the Lord and let him contact you back and connect with you and say, you know, get ready because I'm going to pour out more. I need you to bring 10 baskets instead of three baskets because I'm going to give you more relaxed and some things I want you to bless people with. I got some, I'm going to bless you extra so you can start that increased thing of giving out more, being able to bless people more, being able to help people more, be able to do good things and bless people, you know, more. And so so I need to increase you more, not just so I'm increasing you, but I increase so you can help other people do things that you want to do by helping them and loving them and giving them abundance. You know, abundance is having plenty for you. We always got to think about, you know, plenty for you. God always says that's his purpose, and then have extra. So because when we have a heart to give, that means we have to help other people do things. It means that God, you know, is allowing us to progress and excel and increase. That's why he blesses us with more, is to be able to take the more and take that $1 extra we got and plant that into somebody's life, you know, as God leads, to turn that $1 into $100. You see what I'm saying? Or $10 or something, whatever. And so when we take that the extra is to give us the ability to increase and multiply. So how do we increase and multiply? The extra we have, it may not be much. It may not seem like it. But you know what? When God blesses a dollar, you do it unto him wholeheartedly and willingly, he'll take that dollar and multiply it. The more willingly you do it, the more he multiplies it. If you do it willingly, big time, he multiplies it. He can turn $1 to $100. And so then you have $100 to bless people. So you bless people and you have $100 and you bless it and you give it out to help somebody and do something, whatever, because that's the extra that you have. And then it turns into $300 and then $1,000. And then, you know, God says, okay, keep 100 of that and give 500 of it away. And then you do that. And it's showing you how to increase and multiply. When Jesus blessed the bread and broke it, you know, he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. When he came back, he had 10 baskets full. And so that God's trying to show you how to more and more, how to increase and multiply what you have. Especially when you have extra. He wants you to take care of yourself. You got to take care of your stuff. He blesses you to take care of your stuff. And if he tells you to take some of your stuff and give it out, then that's a special moment. That does happen. The widow who had 2 mites gave out of her living, the Bible says, and Jesus said, this woman is really awesome. She's really special. She really hears from God. She really is giving more than the rest of them because she was giving out of her living. Giving out of your living means you could use that $50 to buy some more groceries so you can have plenty to eat. But you start to take $50 and give it to God. You know, there are times that God does do that. But for the most part, we're talking about excess. And even if it's just a small amount, take it and, you know, let God show you how to increase and multiply the bread, the money bread and all whatever bread. Yeah. And showing you how to do that because it doesn't just do it because we pray. We pray and then we obey. We pray and obey. Pray and obey. Pray and obey. Obedience, you know, faith without works is dead, right? Faith is what God's showing you to do something, giving you a heart to do it. And when he gives you a heart to do it and you do it, then there's a blessing in that, right? Because he wants to bless it because he wants to increase it so you can give more and help more. Because God wants to use you, Steph, to help people, to help ministries, to help poor people, to help whatever, whoever needs it, kinfolk, whatever, to help them. And so to be able to do that, he shows you how to increase and multiply things. Amen? And so he's really going to show you how to do that because, you know, he wants to use you as an example of how somebody learned the principles of the kingdom of God, of how to give out your life and how to multiply and increase things and say, this is the way life works in God, and use you as an example of how I took Stephanie and took her little bit and made it into a lot. That's what they're going to say about you. They're going to say, oh, Stephanie had a little and God made it into a lot. Why? Because she prayed? Yeah, she prayed, but she obeyed. She prayed and she obeyed, and God taught her how to increase and multiply things. Amen? So it's never about God wants everything we have. You know, there's sometimes that people have taken everything they've had and given to God because of a special moment. Those are special moments that God has us do that. But most of the time it's out of our increase. If we learn to be generous with that, then at times God say, take a certain part of what you need and give it away. When God has us do that, then there's a real blessing in it. Only when God has us do it, though. That's the important thing. So increase, and I speak increase and multiplication over Stephanie, God, that her love life, the life of love in her, increase in how to increase and multiply love, how to give love away where love will come back to you and from many different directions in Jesus' name, how to give that, how to increase love, how to increase in every way in Jesus' name. I speak increase, God, in multiplication upon her in the name of Jesus. Let it be done right now. Amen. All right. Stephanie, great. God bless you. Thank you so much. All right. And over my friend from New York, Sharon from New York. God bless you, Sharon. Thank you, Jesus, for sharing tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for opening up her heart, God, and showing her the ways of God where she can see how to, when the enemy does something, God can make a way where there seems to be no way. In other words, the enemy may think that he has, got us cornered. And then all of a sudden, God, hey, I made a way where there seems to be no way. And God, open her eyes so she can see those ways where there seems to be no way. You know, many times with me, it's like, it just seems like there's no way out of this. It just seems like there's no way out. And I think for the scripture, God, it says that he makes a way where there seems to be no way. God, show her, give her wisdom, give her knowledge, God, let her love begin to increase and multiply, or she will learn to, do that very thing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. To look for you and trust you for a way and not get stuck in the mess and get mad. I get upset with a lot of different things sometimes. But I don't stay upset. I learn, okay, God, I got upset. Help me get over this. And he always does, most of the time. I get through it pretty good. So thank you, Jesus, for helping Sharon, God, to learn how to believe God, to find a way where there seems to be no way. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We can mess it up. Well. Okay, got a call tonight, that looks like. Thank you.